say to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Tuesday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, $90,000 a year to attend Columbia, and the students who vandalized the library's giant concrete staircase with graffiti misspelled the word Palestine. Day 1208. Keep it the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Literally P-A-L-A-S-T-I-N-E. Palestine.
Well, Palestine is easier to rhyme than Palestine, so.
Putting the heat in Heather.
Hello.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her. Heather has answers in the next hour. Top of the third is Dark History. Our buddy Jonathan Morris from the Morris Family Farms after that. And your remarks here and there. One thing is really becoming clearer and clearer, at least to me. Democrats, I don't know if they just don't like black people or if they just think very, very, very little of them. Remember, we were told in 2019 by Joe Biden in a town hall meeting that, you know, the black kids don't know how to get online.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts.
That meant, you know, little bitty areas and also large areas. That means everywhere.
Know how to use, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination.
They don't know how to go online.
Hell, they don't know how to get in line.
Right. They don't know how to go online or get in line to find out information about the COVID vaccination. That was a very select group of people that he chose to explain to the rest of America that we may not know that very, very few of these black and minority know how to go online. And it gets worse. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says it's worse than that.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
They just don't know. These young black kids, they don't computer. They don't know. Could Democrats possibly think any less of black people?
And again, she didn't. I would get away if you said, a poor kid from up in the Appalachian Mountains may not know what a computer is.
Right.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe.
But a black kid in the Bronx doesn't know what a computer is.
Doesn't know the word.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
They don't know these things. They just don't know these things. It's part of the long plight that the Democrats, of the black person in America, the Democrats have, that they constantly remind us. You don't know how to get a driver's license. That's clear. Or any other photographic ID for that matter. You don't know how to use a computer. If I were to show you one, I don't know what you might not even know what it is. And if you did know what a computer, if you're one of the rare black people in either in the urban areas or the suburban areas, you know what a computer is. You don't know how to go online or get in a line. I mean, and here's the thing that blows me away. Democrats, blacks have been Democrats, I mean, Dems have been the party of black Americans for as long as I can remember. And they always complain, they always claim that they've got their back. You know, the Democrat Party knows the plight of black Americans, and they're here and have been here to protect black America from the evil white supremacy of the Republican Party for 60 years plus. And Democrats still demean them. They claim to have had your back for all of this time. And if they had, well, don't you think that they would have introduced you to a computer, maybe showed you? I mean, they've been your party, you know, taking care of you because you needed a nanny. You would think that in their care over the 60 years or more that you've voted, black Americans voted almost exclusively Democratic, that they would have taught you how to get online. But no, you're too dumb. You're too stupid, according to them, to get an ID. That's why we can't have, you know, photo ID for voting. If you guys could just get it together and, you know, get an ID, we could have voting in person and everyone would have an ID. If you knew how to use a computer.
It's always been for the Democratic Party. We've got your back, but they've always been like someone treating with kid gloves with a toddler. It's like, oh, we got to help them out because they can't figure out how to get on the Internet. We need to make sure we put more voting boxes in this area because they can't get on a bus. They can't figure it out.
I don't know.
It's always been, you know, for the most part, when the Republican Party, it's been okay. They're, you know, it's why should we treat them any differently than we treat anybody else? And then with the Democratic Party, it's always been, but they can't figure out how to do things. They don't know what a computer is.
The funny thing is, you only hear white Democrats usually talking like that. You know, white Democratic politicians, there are plenty of black politicians. They'll never say, you'll never catch, you know, a black politician, a climber or anyone else, either in the Senate or the House, say the same things of their fellow black Americans, because they know that it's BS. Yet they stand and allow their white counterparts to continue to demean them, and they say nothing about it. If you were a black person in Congress, and you heard Kathy Hochul say, or even at the state level, there are plenty of black politicians in New York. And you heard her say that a lot of black kids growing up in the Bronx don't know the word computer. They don't know what it is. They have no idea. Wouldn't you step in and go, excuse me, with all due respect, Governor, I'm a black American. I know that's an overstatement. It's a racist statement. I imagine any youth in America today that's not around a computer. That's not an Appalachian barefoot yokel.
Yeah, it's not possible.
No, it's not possible. And I don't know that when they say things like this, you think the Democrats are so out of touch that they may still believe these things? Because to most of us, most rational Americans, if anyone were to say, well, you know, black people... not even get online. I mean, the computers. And how many black people are in IT today?
Tons.
an ass ton of black people are in IT today.
I mean, it's no different than Nancy Pelosi, where there should have been a bunch of Hispanic Democrats that said, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you just say that we need the borders open so we can have people that work in the hotels as maids and pick fruit? Because that's what you just said. And nobody stood up and said, whoa, I'm a sitting congresswoman.
You think AOC congressman might want to say, excuse me, I think Hispanic and Latino people are you know, not just cut out for cutting fruit. They say the most, I got to play this. It's been a long time since Maxine Waters has opened her mouth in public. Apparently, well, there's no hills for us to train in, but she thinks that, well, here.
This is a man who we better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the president to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with, who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, you know, what communities they're going to attack.
Far right-wing groups, ladies and gentlemen, right now are in the hills training. barefoot, by the way. Eating off the land, possum, squirrel, things of that nature, as they train to, you know, do white right-wing militia stuff.
I mean, they should be pretty easy to find here in Florida. We only got so many hills, so yeah. We can figure out which ones they're up in.
God. She is really a treat, isn't she? She's been a long time.
That's another person who's not left their high society California area in so long that they think that the rest of the United States is just a bunch of right-wingers up in the hills running their militia squads. Because
with long strings of hay hanging out of their mouth.
Sons of bitches.
Every one of them, sons of bitches.
And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Just pleading for the murder of the president by Maxine Waters. man, that's bad. Stormy Daniels takes the stand. We're learning a lot. I don't know what is this case about. Easy. What are they claiming? Donald Trump has done wrong.
Best I can get out of it is they're trying to say that he used hush money as a camp out of campaign funds, and that helped him win an election because it covered up a story that would have changed the election results.
So that he used money and
because that's the only part of it that's actually against the law is that it would be campaign funds to sway electoral votes.
His comptroller took the stand yesterday and said that he coded that payment. His name is Jeff McConney. He testified that he's the one that instructed the accounting department to classify the payments as, quote, legal expenses. He said he did that because of how Cohen worded the invoices. This whole case is based on the premise that Donald Trump had payments classified as legal expenses to hide hush money payments. And the man, his comptroller for the company, just testified that he instructed accounting to classify them as legal expenses because the prosecution's lead witness, Michael Cohen, worded the invoices in that manner. So if that's what it's all about, why do we need to know the alleged steamy details of the night Stormy allegedly had sex with Donald Trump?
Nothing. There, nothing to the case does that involve.
Here's just a short exchange. The prosecutor asked Stormy if she did end up having sex with Donald Trump on a bed in a hotel room. Yes, she said. She said she recalls staring up at the ceiling. The prosecutor asked if Donald Trump was wearing a condom, to which Stormy Daniels replied, no. Do you think for a minute that Donald Trump would raw dog a porn star, even if you were contemplating having sex with her?
Nah.
Let me raw dog it one more time. She remembers it being brief.
That's not true. I'm a tremendous lover.
She remembers getting dressed and that it was dark outside. She said her hands were shaking. She was having a hard time putting her shoes on. She didn't say anything at all. She took a cab back and she said that she felt ashamed. I don't know why any of that is important to whether or not he used campaign funds inappropriately.
None of it, but they got what they wanted out of it.
Right.
And that she can embarrass him on stage and he can't do anything about it. Because now that she's been on the stand, they can...
It's a matter of record.
It's a matter of record, and also he can no longer talk about her anymore under the gag order.
Until the case is over.
Until the case is over, yeah. But up until that point now that he can't... She can go on anywhere else on TV, any place else, interview, and say whatever she wants, and he can't say anything back about it.
She said... She claims... Ms. Daniels claims the comments he made when he said,
"You remind me of my beautiful daughter, smart, blonde, beautiful, and people underestimate her."
They're allegedly talking about her possibility of her being on the Celebrity Apprentice. She said, "I said, even you don't have that much power. He said, you remind me of my daughter because she's smart, blonde, beautiful, and people underestimate her. She also said that she was concerned at the time that going on the show would hurt her image. What if I lose on the first episode, she said. Who cares about that part of it? It really is why the payment was classified in the way it was classified. And is it really, truly a campaign expense? I guess they're assuming it's not a campaign expense, no matter how you try to classify it, right?
Yes, and like I said, all they're trying to do is go out and try to embarrass him, and that's what they're trying to accomplish. There's nothing that she added today that, one, hasn't been in any of the other trials that they've tried to do this for. She's actually had to pay him back on because they found lies in it.
She owes him money right now. Yeah. She also claimed that she spanked him with a rolled-up Forbes magazine.
Please use the Forbes. I mean, I believe I'm in that issue.
Of course he's in that issue. He's definitely reading the issue. It has his face on it.
Yeah. He survived all of this so far. His campaign is going through the motions of contemplating a jail sentence. Trump has said, I would do that. I would make that sacrifice. He's ready to go to jail over his gag order contempt ruling. And they're talking about maybe, first of all, they say, look, everyone's a professional here. On both sides. Donald Trump is a professional man, a former president, likely the future president. And I think most people would disagree that it would agree that this gag order is a little overreaching just to silence Trump, to keep him from defending himself in the public eye, which nobody else in this case has a gag order. Michael Cohen can blah, blah, blah on TikTok, pay-per-view, whatever the hell, all day long and talk about the case. No problems there. So they talk about alternative punishment. Home confinement has been discussed by Trump's team. Both the logistical questions that jail poses and the judge's own admitted reluctance to issuing such a decision. Trump would take the lead in messaging just as he has throughout the... I'll tell you what, one former federal prosecutor, a woman by the name of Niema Rahmani, she was a West Coast trial lawyer. Now, she used to be a former federal prosecutor. She said, don't do it. She said, if you do, it would more than likely cause mass protests and civil unrest. Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I think there'll be some protesting, but you're not going to see what we're seeing on campuses or things like that.
No. I think you would see constant civil unrest surrounding whatever facility he's in, vigils, whatever. I don't think you'll see violence. Merchant's says that Trump's statements threaten to interfere with fair administration of justice and constitute a direct attack on the rule of law. How is that possible? How is him saying this trial is a sham be an attack on the rule of law? Taking away a man's ability to speak his opinion about what's happening to him is a strike at the rule of law. Trump having Secret Service protection, even in jail, they say, logistically, would be a nightmare. They've talked about the potential locations for where he would be jailed, like Rikers Island. They don't know if Rikers could accommodate the Secret Service. They've never had a situation like this before. It may lead to mass protests, civil unrest. Trump would rail out on Truth Social, and the thought of him being jailed for any period of time is problematic from a public policy perspective. There's a significant number of Americans that believe that Trump is being treated unfairly here and getting railroaded. I mean, but the images of him in custody or the visuals of him in custody would be, whew. But, what do they got tomorrow off? He's in court today. shaking his head, closing his eyes. Stormy Daniels tells a, you know, because there's nothing that you could say, well, Stormy, she's telling that she's under oath. Okay, she's under oath telling a story that no one else knows but her, allegedly. That it's her, you know, she can't be held in contempt or found that she was lying under oath because there's no way to tell whether or not she's lying.
I just, the fact that the judge continues to let a lot of it go on, because again, there's nothing they're adding to the actual what the criminal charge is. He is not on trial for having sex with her. That's not
right.
It's not illegal. It's maybe you want to consider it immoral, and that's probably what I think was a bigger issue, is because it would consider this swaying a jury when you start putting out things like, oh, did you wear a condom? Again, objection. What does that have to do with the actual charges that my, you know, client is under? It doesn't have anything other than you're trying to get the jury to sway a certain way and looking at the situation.
It's an emotional thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Donnie Deutsch at MSNBC says that, I love how everyone knows how Trump is feeling. Trump is seething today. Trump is morose. Now Trump is terrified of jail. She said, he said, he's terrified. I want to dive back into testimony, but I have to start with jail. Trump, who didn't go to a memorial for United States veterans of World War One in France because he didn't want to see, you know, losers. That which, you know, has been debunked 1,000 times. Trump does not want to go to jail. He's terrified. His hair, his makeup, his skin. Where he has to go to the bathroom on a metal toilet. If he goes, it'll be an amazing moment in history. You will instantly add 10 points to his poll numbers, and you will not be able to cheat your way out of that victory. When we return, what are we going to do when we return? Oh, Stuart Varney had Kristi Noem on. He kept going back to the dog. So finally she said, Stuart, this is ridiculous. We stop already. It's great audio. there's an update on the Princeton famine strikers. They're mad. They're mad actually because the school's not caring for them.
Yeah, so school doesn't care.
That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Hey.
Kristi Noem can't escape the dog thing she mentioned. In an article yesterday, she threw out there that people don't understand a dog was biting people, killing other animals. For example, Biden's dog, Major, whichever one bit 24 Secret Service agents.
Yeah, Commander.
Commander, whichever. But they were both bitey. that maybe the public will be better served that they too were put down. Anyway, she's on Stuart Varney, and he ain't letting it go. And finally she says, all right, I've had it.
I still think that you are in line to be Trump's vice president.
No, it's up to Donald Trump. He's the only person who will decide this.
Yeah,
he's the only person who will decide. And I spoke, yes, I do speak to him.
May I ask what he said to you about being vice president?
No, I never tell anybody my personal conversations
with President Trump. Did the dog story come up in a conversation with
Trump? I talk to President Trump all the time.
About the dog?
About a lot of things. And right now, I tell you what, he is being persecuted in a political hunt. Witch hunt in this court case. So I'm proud of him about how tough he is and how well he is doing.
Did you bring up
yes,
the dog?
Yes, enough, Stuart.
With Trump. Did you
this
bring
interview
up the dog
is
with
ridiculous,
Trump?
What you were doing right now.
I don't
so you need to stop. It is.
Okay.
It is. Let's talk about some real topics that Americans care about.
I'm afraid we're out of time.
Did you bring up the dog?
He was not going to let that go at all. There is a top New York Times editor, Joe Kahn was his name, and he was interviewed by Semaphore amid complaints from Biden allies that the New York Times they've been failing in its coverage by not being more favorable to the White House. The outlet does not see its role as saving democracy and stopping the authoritarian from taking power. And he goes to say, you know, the White House itself wants the outlet to kind of act more like a propaganda arm of the Biden administration ahead of the 2024. And Joe Kahn said, look, it's our job to cover a full range of issues that people have at the moment. Democracy is one of them, not the top one. Immigration happens to be the top of the polls. Then the economy, inflation is second. Should we stop covering those things because they're favorable to Trump and minimize them? I don't even know how it's supposed to work in the view of Dan Pfeiffer or the White House, meaning the chief of staff. We become an instrument of the Biden campaign. We turn ourselves into Xinhua News or the Pravda. We put out a stream of stuff that's very favorable to them and only write negative stories about the other side. And that, what does that accomplish? There's apparently, Politico's been reporting on it, a feud between the New York Times and the White House because some aides close to the president reportedly see the upcoming presidential election as existential choice, and they're criticizing the New York Times coverage to say that the threats to democracy are so great that the media is going to abandon the central role as a source of impartial information to help people vote. That's essentially saying the news media should become a propaganda arm for a single candidate because we prefer that candidate's agenda. It's true that Biden's agenda is more in sync with traditional establishment parties and candidates, and we're reporting on that and making it very clear. And it was really funny because in 2016, a few months out from Trump being elected, the New York Times had a front page article that literally encouraged journalists to, quote, throw out the textbook American journalism. Because if you believe that, they went on to say that if you believed that Trump was a demagogue playing the nation's worst racist and nationalistic tendencies, then you should be able to throw out your traditional, and because it's no longer a matter of journalism. It's a matter of saving the United States and maybe the world from this madman. And you have to forget be about fairness because we have, you know, and even forget about rules of journalism and maybe even laws the rules of sources and things of that nature.
And I think a lot of journalists took that to heart because they're still doing that.
Oh, yeah. I think they kind of just clicked into that gear. And then at the lead up to the 2020 in October, their front page headline was "End Our National Crisis: The Case Against Donald Trump." Because if you're a working journalist and you believe all of this stuff that, you know, Trump is a demagogue and playing on the worst racist nationalist tendencies, and you know we shouldn't, he's too dangerous to have the nuclear codes, and you really believe that as a journalist, then you shouldn't be covering him. You shouldn't be covering presidential politics at all.
You need to head on and just start working local dog shows, restaurant reviews,
yeah,
and things like that.
Absolutely, because there's no way you could report objectively. But and if you believe all of those things, you do have to throw out the textbook American journalism that we've been using for a half century. And this may be a brand new way for some journalists to approach journalism. You know, they don't know a world of journalism where they're not supposed to save the world from the existential threat of Orange Man Bad. That we throw out all the laws and, you know, and in our judicial system, change laws and throw laws out in order to stop this existential threat. And the nerve of this administration to have an issue with the New York Times. We all know the New York Times leans left. I mean, hello, we're not, you don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
But the White House is so angry because they're not.
They
just
came close to being fair once or twice,
yeah,
or three or four
they're
times.
They're not foot washing Biden. That right. They, you know, saying that everything he's doing is the greatest thing that's ever happened before. Which, I mean, there is a point where they try to stay with some sort of journalistic integrity that has to say, hey, we can't just every day when he goes on stage and shakes an invisible hand or calls a bunch of people that were supposed to be guests of him by the wrong name, which he did again yesterday, multiple people.
Right. And you can't ignore the number one story in America, certainly in New York, which is the immigration crisis. The humanitarian crisis created by this administration. And you can't ignore inflation. And even though they keep telling you that it's the economy is great, we get the numbers. We see the numbers. We pay the price. And the New York Times reports on it. That's just the way. Finally, there's someone over there that says, hey, we can't be a propaganda arm for this administration. We have to. I mean, what are the consequences to reporting fairly? Increased readership? More trust in your publication? That's what it would be. You might not get the most favorable attention from this administration or maybe some Democratic politicians, but what's that worth?
Yeah, maybe it's nice that you actually get access to the White House again if there is something that's not a Democratic president that needs you kissing their everything they do. You know, at some point you have to say you're the New York Times, and then when the rest of the world looks at you and goes, okay, this is supposed to be America's like best newspaper, right? And they're
right.
They're over here talking about stuff that we obviously can tell is wrong, and they're just going on to it. So you're telling this is the best that America can put out.
I mean, this we really are walking that line to where if real journalists and journalism, if real journalists believe their craft and believe in the institution of journalism, they must speak up, or they simply become a paid player in the propaganda machine. And that's, you know, I don't know, maybe you don't have enough, maybe integrity is not a big deal for you. Remember Michelle Kaczynski? Used to be a CNN reporter. She was CNN's White House correspondent up until 2020. She worked at NBC News. She schmoozes with the Obamas. Well, she took to social media to talk about a dinner she had with some people, and a dinner party. She described it on X. She said that all people there were well-educated, very successful in their careers, and at first glance seemed normal for like an hour. But slowly, over a few drinks, they began to let slip their true MAGA natures. Find some appropriate sounds.
It's true. We can only hide our face for so long before it just slips out.
She was marveling at what a normal group they were. They're all very well educated. And then she discovered, how could they all support a politician she doesn't approve of? She was surprised by the revelation, marveling at how normal group of people could support him. On one of the couples, each attended Ivy League colleges. But now that it was a university time for their kids, they're adamantly not letting them apply to any Ivies. And they were weird about explaining why. Though the kids were double legacies. Pivoting from the subject likely linked to the recent protests over the conflict in Gaza, the next crew suddenly burst out with air quotes when they mentioned climate change. Again, there are otherwise smart people, she said, insinuating the millions of Americans that support him, you know, got to be idiots. She said, not scientists, clearly, but educated. And the dude took seething umbrage when my friend mentioned the damage Trump had done and vowed to continue to do. The others, when they realized that a few in their presence came armed with actual facts, quickly changed the subject. Nervously, they didn't want to talk politics. They realized they would be eviscerated on all idiotic points, especially the economy. My friends and I realized we were surrounded by otherwise carefully closeted maggots. Then she described the ordeal, left an emotional toll on her. She said, it's funny how the extremists or just wrong beliefs can't help but leak out, even when you least expect them, and from people you least expect them from. But they're out there. This dinner continues to haunt me because they all seem so normal.
Oh my God. This is another New York elitist that only is in her little bubble of people that never thought she's ever been wrong in her entire life about anything. So, of course, whatever she says is the exact gospel truth. And then she's under the same. Every time we've seen one of those videos of where you see a liberal college kid, he's going, I'm going to go to one of these Trump rallies and I'm finally exposed that all these are nothing but, you know, redneck racist hate things.
Right.
And then there are people like grandmas that are, hey, you guys want some cookies?
Yeah.
And the kid's like, I don't know what's going on. Where are the racists?
I mean, these, she's an intelligent person. She's not, you know, she is different politically from us. But if that self-righteous progressiveness BS, I mean, you could sit there, mortgage rates have tripled in 3 years. Consumer prices up 20%, 25% for food, gas, all of these things were inundated with illegal aliens to the crisis point, and it's not going to stop it. And that you're shocked that Ivy League educated people don't want that to continue. That's basically what it boils down to. You know, there was a development, and it was very, I got to hand it to the opposition because they did a very good job of implanting that switch in heads of progressive liberals that there is no gray area there at all. Oh, you're for, oh, I can't talk to you. You're just wrong. You're just dumb. There's no discussion. It's black and white. It's either whatever is not Trump.
We'll take that as their entire life too. There's a lot of times where I've met many people that are vehemently anti-Trump or anti-Republican, and I've had been able to have conversations with them because guess what? You don't have to talk about politics with them all the time.
Right.
It's something you can do. And this person sounds like she went to that dinner and that's all she could talk about.
Because was politics.
And because the people are like, hey, we're just having a nice dinner and everything. And everything was going great for the first hour.
They nervously said they don't want to talk politics. No, we don't. Well, you know, conservative people don't want to talk politics with you because it's not a two-way discussion. It's not a discussion. No. It's being preached at. You guys have there's no bending room. There's no gray area whatsoever. It's their way or the highway.
What's the same where they say, quote, climate change, like that she's all of a sudden going to pull out some facts and stats and all these cue cards that show, oh, look, here's the water temperature rising, here's all this. And then, of course, the other person's going to go, but there's actually CNN just did a whole study, a whole two-hour show about a castle, I think it's Ireland, that is still, was supposed to be below sea level 200 years ago, and it's still not even, it hasn't even risen in the past 200 years.
They don't care about the facts.
Yeah, they're just people then just go, you're just an idiot that has no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, if someone else's views haunt you, you desperately have to engage with those people. And, you know, and at the very least, you know, you don't have to look at it. Don't look at it as trying to convince them to change their mind, and certainly don't look at it as a way to denigrate them for their political beliefs or their decisions, but try to understand where they're coming from. Because, you know, people that I find in large that are conservatives, especially in the last three elections that Trump has been involved in, people that support Trump are able to see other views. They're more pliable. There are more conservatives that are, they might not be pro-choice, but they're reasonable about time limits to get an abortion, and you know, the majority of conservatives are not wanting a national abortion ban straight across the board. You have to leave the most of us are realistic, but that's the way we're all painted by them, and there's no gray area.
Yeah,
they don't understand the gray area.
My way or the highway view on everything.
And if you're, I mean, if you want something to be haunted about 9 or more million illegal aliens that have been thrust upon this country in the last 4 years. That's haunting. The highest inflation in 40 years. That's haunting. The fact that gas prices are on the rise, and we have zero strategic petroleum reserves. That should haunt you. That's haunting.
What was the other number I saw? That we lost over 1,000 business or 1,000 businesses that had 1 to 9 employees. Was one of the largest jumps.
Small businesses.
23,700 jobs with businesses with 1 to 9 employees. It's one of the largest drops of all time as well. So, yeah, small businesses are going away.
That should haunt you. Not the fact that the guy you're having dinner with is going to vote for Donald Trump and may not see things your way on climate change.
I mean, you could be upset that maybe he had a red with why he was eating some fish or something like that, some sort of monster.
This ogre, this barefoot heathen, had Chardonnay with his T-bone steak. I mean, that's just an example. I don't know.
Just a person that thinks she is better than everybody else that doesn't follow lock and step with what she thinks.
Right. And I don't know. I'm willing to talk to people. I mean, to them, it's no discussion. I'm willing to have a discussion about polarizing, like a climate change, but I don't think anyone wants to hear my opinion because what they believe, there is no opinion. There's only a fact, and it's what they have in their head, and that's it. End of story. You can't argue. Later, cicadas, the lobster of the trees. I knew that someone was going to take advantage of 3 or 4 or 5 trillion these insects, coming out and emerging at the same time. The horror of the sound, but someone was going to turn it into some way to eat these bugs.
I'm going to see how much they run. Let me buy some and throw together one of these recipes here.
Run? Well, buy them. You should go out and catch them.
No, I'm not going to. I don't want free range. I want my farm.
I remember how long ago was it the Boy Scouts of America decided to allow girls?
About 5 or 6 years ago now. Maybe even longer.
Boy's in the name. Do the Girl Scouts allow boys?
I don't believe so.
I don't think they do either.
I think they have to claim that they're a girl.
Well, for the first time in its 114-year history, the Boy Scouts of America are changing their name. It's set to become just Scouting America. Not Boy Scouts of America, Scouting America. In a bid to boost inclusion. I don't know. You already let girls in and gay youth that are out that admitted they let them start letting gay.
I don't think there's anything that can be excluded on now.
Yeah, so we're getting at it. What else? Unless the term boy has become so off-putting and right wing or whatever you want to put it. But
I don't. Maybe this to me is a little bit of an image change because I think there's still a lot of people that hear Boy Scouts and they think of Scout Leader Tom and the
Diddling the kid,
yeah, in the tent with the little boys, and that's what they still think. So they're thinking if we just change the name to Scouting America, people won't remember that part about it.
About it, yeah, they do bankruptcy years ago for all the payouts they had to. They say the next 100 years, we want any youth in America to feel very, very welcome to come into our programs. Very, very welcome. I mean, I don't know how much they can be more welcome. Gay youth of 2013, they ended a ban on gay adult leaders in 2015. In 2017, they started to accept girls into the Cub Scouts. In 2018, into the flagship Boy Scout program, renamed Scouts BSA in 2019. 1,000 women were the inaugural class of female Eagle Scouts in 2021. But yeah, we got to take the name. Yeah.
I think they took the wrong approach with this. They really should have gone with Biden's youth, though.
Biden's youth?
Yeah. Seems to be a ring to that.
Biden Hugen, perhaps? all right. We got to get to Heather has answers in the next hour. MIT, like every other Ivy League school, when you apply, there's a diversity statement. And some other requirements about diversity in the application programs, they decided to ditch all of it. Literally saying they don't work. diversity statements for faculty, applicants, and admits, they don't work. Are we turning the corner here?
I think we're seeing a little bit. I think we're seeing the sunlight on the horizon.
I mean, they required faculty applicants to provide the hiring team with a statement demonstrating knowledge of the challenges related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and give their track record of working with diversity groups with diverse groups of people, so that they could get a job and how they're going to do it if they're in the school.
Yeah, but they did this across the board for everybody. So the janitor had to put a statement like, "Yeah, I've worked with black guys before. I can work with them again." The lunch lady in there also had to go, "Oh yeah, I've worked hand in hand with Hispanic women before, and I used to
work with a Chinese fella. Yeah. I didn't have no problem with him."
I mean, what more? It's the dumbest thing ever.
It really is. It's like, I have a black friend. All right, Heather has answers this next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Princeton Hunger People, what are they on, day four?
Yes.
They want everyone to know that the university doesn't care for them.
Us as strikers, we will continue to starve until they meet our demands. In addition, I would like to note that the administration is also lying to the media. To the media, they have announced that they have been consistently sending their own doctors to come to our area and monitor us hunger strikers and monitor our health. This is a lie. They are not monitoring our health. They are not keeping track of our vitals. They are not at all taking care of us in any regard.
Why would the university need to take care of you? You're an adult.
Are you supposed to during a hunger strike? Is whoever you're... remember all those monks and, you know, Gandhi and all those guys at hunger strike? Do you think the government was sending people to go get his vitals and tell me how he's doing?
Right. I mean, these people... The whole shame... I mean, where are we? Shame. That's like a colonial witch days where they're drowning witches.
Do you also have to, is there a cue that you got to throw in a shame, or you just call one out?
There's someone with an applause card. He just says shame on it. They lift it up and everybody says shame.
They have only sent a spokesperson from UHS twice to give us informational pamphlets, but they are not at all taking care of us in any regard, and I want to make that very clear.
At all, they're not supposed. What responsibility does the university have to come down and monitor you? So, and if you say, like you did at the beginning, that we will continue to starve ourselves, then get to starving. Start starving. If starving means you're literally going to sit there and starve yourself to death, then get with it.
I'm also a little disappointed. One,
stop complaining.
That's an expensive gas generator that they're running to run all those electronics. Yeah. Definitely hear that. That's polluting the environment right there. They don't care about that. And two, what was the informational pamphlet? Did the university, does Columbia have one that says, "So you started a hunger strike"?
Is this your first hunger strike? Here's a few things you'll need to know. I don't know. That was the the health system they sent out. With a pamphlet, here's what your basic needs are for you to, I don't know.
Yeah. So you started a hunger strike. Here's what you're going to start feeling. Here's on what day, the day you're going to start feeling it.
So they believe that literally there should be a team of medical professionals with all the machines and the beep, beep and all that stuff and stethoscopes and the scrubs, and just fussing over them the whole time, taking their pulse over here, then taking the blood pressure over here, and then the temperature over here, and then making sure everyone's hydrated and just fuss over them the entire time. No.
Isn't that the point of a hunger strike, is that you're showing your willingness to die for your cause? Because that's what a hunger strike is. It's not we missed a couple meals. It's the fact that you're willing to starve yourself to death for your cause.
I'm really surprised. And maybe somebody knows somebody in the Greek system in Columbia that some guys, having put together a little fun, went to McDonald's, got about 150 little cheeseburgers, and just poured the bags on top of these people.
I'm just more surprised there isn't a guy that's pulled up some smoker and just making barbecue like crazy.
Jonathan Morris got a goat up there on his smoker.
They would be bawling to death if they see a goat on there.
That they are not caring for us. That they do not care for us. And they are lying.
That bunch of liars are not caring for us. They don't care about us. Yes, they don't care about you.
I just don't. What are they? They're so self-centered, narcissistic that they believe that when they told the university system that, hey, we're not going to eat anymore until you listen to our demands, and what they expected the university to be down there hand and foot with a guy with a blood pressure cuff. Okay, he's still alive, guys. How are we really going to keep and not giving them their demands?
Or either asking, begging them to eat food. Please don't starve. Please don't starve yourself. Please. Their demands are not going to be met. And maybe one of them dies of starvation. Good, it'll teach the rest of them a lesson that you're an idiot.
Well, I mean, it shows you're in on your cause.
I think there's currently, what I can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe 7 or 8 students that are willing to starve themselves to death. That's the most ridiculous thing ever. MIT is one of the first elite universities to drop its diversity statements for faculty applicants. They had a rather controversial practice. Requires prospective employees and faculty to write a diversity statement, provide the team with a statement demonstrating knowledge of the challenges related to DEI. They had to outline their track record of working with diverse groups of people and share how they plan to advance DEI and inclusion within the role of the school. President Sally Kornbluth now decided to remove that requirement that compelled diversity statements. Because she said they don't work. MIT spokesperson Monday confirmed the request of statements on diversity will no longer be part of the applicants. They made the decision to reform it with the support of the provost, the chancellor, 6 academic deans, all of them. I guess they finally realized that that's not the most important thing. And when you're looking to hire somebody, you're looking to find somebody for their talents and their abilities and their track record. But,
it's also more one of those things that it's a weird, like did you really think that you were going through all these applicants and people that really wanted a job and needed a job? We're going to get to that and go, I can't work with black guys.
Hope you all got new Muslims there.
I mean, that's what all that paper did. It's a statement saying that, yes, I can also work with diversity, equity, and inclusion. There's nobody that needs a job that's going to go, I can't do that. Come on. Give me a break.
I mean, and really, you're just asking them to make up something when you want them to outline their track record of working with diverse groups. I mean, I taught a diverse group my last year at XYZ school when, two-thirds of the class were trans and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And
it's just the same as all the, I always laugh when you do a new job and they try to give you one of they send you, go do this personality test one. And the questions are like, hey, there's a $5 in the till. Are you going to take it out of the till and pocket it? Who is ever going to put yes on that question?
Yeah, God dang it. 25% of the faculty reported they were very or extremely likely to self-censor. The survey revealed 41% of the faculty also agreed the administration's stance on free speech was, quote, not clear. And also, it kind of impinges free speech and free expression. Forcing your faculty and your staff to, that's just towing a line, which is really a political line more than anything else. Well, thank God. do all universities have a diversity statement for people that want to work there?
A lot of them do now. That's the big kind of in thing to do.
Yes. One day it'll turn around, I guess. There are 13 federal judges in the United States right now that say they will no longer hire law clerks from Columbia University. And I and people go, that's not right. They can't do that. That's discrimination.
No, it's not.
Not really. After the university allowed the encampment on its lawn, a spiral. They said there's an explosion of student disruptions, a virulent spread of anti-Semitism at Columbia, which has now canceled their graduation. That used to be clerkship. You know, if you're from Columbia or Stanford or Yale or Harvard, those were where U.S. federal judges went to go to get clerks. And it was an honor to have to be working on a law degree and be clerking for a federal court. But this certainly is good news for other law students at Yale and Stanford and, you know, all the others, because there will be more seats for them to fill. They say it has become clear that Columbia applies double standards when it comes to free speech and student misconduct. Freedom of speech protects protests, not trespass, and certainly not acts or threats of violence and terrorism. Wow. 12 judges are currently boycotting Yale for actions on their campus. I think when, you know, when you realize you're something you believed in and we're so passionate about is has the potential to wreck your future between you being a constitutional attorney or a traffic lawyer, a traffic ticket fixer, more or less, because you believed in something. Beautiful.
Heather?
Ooh.
What'd you say?
She can't wait to get up in your business.
Yes. Yes.
So indulge her. Send her your highly personal, deeply disturbed questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com.
heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Put the Burke Show Brain Trust in charge of your important decisions in life.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. Dear all-knowing radio gods, I'm 2 weeks postpartum and still have 20 to 25 pounds to lose. I'm 5'10", 195, usually around 170, 175. I may not be a 10, but I literally created an entire human and produced it less than 20 days ago. I decided to get a spray tan to make myself feel a little less like a marshmallow and asked my husband to watch the baby for an hour or so I could go. Want to know what my husband said? He asked why I'm even going, since it's just like putting lipstick on a pig, and my real issue is not being tan, it's the extra weight. I normally spray tan, but stopped during each pregnancy. I told him his comment was rude, and he disagreed, saying I'm being too sensitive, and it's just a fact.
Man.
He also used this reference last week when I was putting on makeup, and he asked me the same question. I'm really pissed off at him and not sure how to respond, looking for ideas to either understand his perspective or how to properly communicate this is not a nice thing to say, or just a great comeback. I'm not looking for a big fight. I just want to bounce back at him. Gretchen.
Man, I can't think of a worse thing that a husband can do to a wife. To make that comment at any time at all, but to do it after she just gave birth to your child, you pig.
Right?
Pig.
Yeah, this guy can't win, so he's made a terrible, terrible mistake that he must have penance for.
Yeah. I don't know. I typically like to find faults. You know, he's commenting on not a fault of yours, but a condition of yours brought upon by the beautiful, magical childbirth. So I don't know. Is he perfect in every way?
Certainly not.
Is he, you know, tall, slim? Does he have muscle tone?
Maybe
he has a small penis.
and again, does that matter? It still created her baby. Like,
if I were this woman, I would share that story with as many people as possible. I would. And closer friends and family, the better. And say, hey, well, you know, maybe tell your mother-in-law, hey, your son thinks I'm a pig. So you said so last night. So, you know, just to let you know, I'm going to got to work on myself a little bit. Did she say anything at all to him?
It doesn't really. Well, she said that.
Or she just let it go?
I'm not sure. I would have thought she would have said something, like it was rude. I told him that his comment was rude, and he disagreed, saying, I'm being too sensitive. It's just a fact.
Well, I'm a big fan of fighting fire with fire, just to make a point, not to start a bigger, you know, situation.
Right.
maybe the guy's eyes are too close together, or
so pick something really petty that he has no control over.
Absolutely, something very petty about him. He's got ugly feet. He's, you know, whatever it is. He doesn't have
hair.
He doesn't have biceps. You'd like to see where are his pectorals? Does the man even lift?
Yeah, I mean, call him out. He's got a little beer belly going on. You poke that. You just walk by and poke him like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
You want to talk here? Yeah.
You didn't even birth a baby, and look what you got.
Right. All you did is provide some sperm, and you're a mess. Look at you.
Oh,
I did the hard work. Yeah, that's... Rude. Is this their first child? It's got to be.
She said something about other children. Oh. So it may be like their second or third. I don't know. I don't know that it matters unless he's just totally oblivious to how he's supposed to act or how long it takes a woman to lose the weight. And maybe it's his first baby and not her first.
Right.
I don't know.
Man, I mean, that guy needs to go to husband 101, really. That's a no-brainer right there.
Yeah.
What a dick.
I wonder what his mom would say if she knew.
Yeah, I would seek opinion on it from family members and close friends, and maybe their pastor.
Ooh.
All right.
Hey, radio friends, I'm struggling with severe chronic pain, and my physical therapist has suggested that maybe I have a pinched nerve and wants me on medication. However, I have dealt with a prescription drug addiction, and I fear taking anything these days. Apparently, where the nerve is pinched, there's no way to do surgery simply. What do I do? Because the pain just keeps getting worse, and I don't want to take the prescription. I literally would rather deal with the pain than take medication. It's becoming unbearable. Anonymous in Alabama.
I, too, am not a fan of pain medication. I don't like it, even though I'm in intense pain. Sometimes it's worth it to deal with the weirdness. Like sometimes I get tingly, you know, and just overall, it's not a good feeling. I try to avoid. But there are like some non-narcotic things you can do.
Yeah,
I don't know if you do for a pinched nerve, maybe acupuncture.
There's some acupuncture stuff you can do. It's possible that they can help it with physical therapy. I'm about to go through all this. So I got to go Thursday morning for an MRI on my back.
Oh.
And but it's also the same. I don't want them handing me a bunch of pills. It's not going to do me any good. It bothers me, but it's not enough that I can't go through my day to a point where I want to knock myself out silly.
Right. And I'm not a, you know, this person's a recovering addict to prescription pills.
Yeah.
I'm not even.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
I got other addictions I got to deal with.
I don't normally send people down the route, but there are some holistic stuff that they can try. You know, maybe look into it.
Acupuncture.
Go to an acupuncturist and look into maybe some Eastern medicine stuff.
There's one. Where is this person? Alabama? I know an acupuncturist in Fort Walton Beach.
Yeah.
But I might not help
you know, there might be some, you might consider there's some hokey pokey, you know, woo-woo magic stuff to it, but hey, it may help you.
Even a chiropractor maybe. And it's like hoo-hoo magic. But whatever. I've never done acupuncture, but the other stuff works.
Chiropractic
I'm talking
great.
About more, you know, Eastern medicine that's going to tell you to have some cumin and bat's wing, and that's going to help you with your reset your levels.
Yeah, pinched nerves are awful.
Yes.
But you can often get relief at a chiropractor. I have.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with that one. Yep. I have one more here.
All right. I'm loaded with advice today.
Dear Heather, how would you end the conversation with a dry texter? So I ran to Urban Dictionary. Dry texters are people who don't say much when replying to a message. Sometimes they just say one word because they don't know how to reply back to the specific message. So back to the email. I matched this person online and we've been texting back and forth a little while. I figured if she matched and messaged me, she was at least a little interested in me. However, it's like pulling teeth when we have a conversation. I'm always trying to keep up the conversation, but eventually start to run out of ways to keep it going. Sometimes I end up staring at my phone for several minutes because I can't think of anything else to say. They give me nothing to work with. I always try to respond to every message I get because I know how crappy it feels to be left on read. Yet, with this person, their responses are so dry, I eventually can't even think of anything to say back. How do you deal with these situations? Kenneth in Atlanta.
I mean, is this on a dating site he's talking about?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Dating app.
Move along to someone else.
Also, Kenneth, I'm guessing, is younger because of the fact to call them on the phone. You're having a dating conversation. If you want to get really into it where you're actually going to know something about this person, then actually have a phone call conversation with them instead of texting with them back and forth.
On these sites, your phone number is not readily available. You have to give it to them, correct?
If that's where it get to that point. If she's going to text you and you're sending long, just worded letters and she's going, okay, then one, she probably isn't all that interested
right.
in you.
Right, yeah.
And two, then
there's the room.
Yeah, there's nothing going on with it.
Or you know, if that's the way she is, you're obviously going to find it, you know, not appealing. So maybe you should move along to another person. I mean, I get dry texts from my kids all the time. I'm like, hey, I'm coming to town doing this. What, you know, how you feel? You know, what's going on?
Okay.
Good.
And I think my wife would say that sounds like me doing the texting because I'm the same way. She'll be sending me and I'm like, okay. And that's the answer to the question was, yeah. Okay, yes. I don't need to add anything else to this. The conversation, the question has been answered. Yeah, so,
why are you telling her how beautiful she is and how like she's just like changed your life when
she walked
through? But
that's not what the conversation was.
Right.
The conversation was, hey, I'm going to go to the store and pick up a few things. Is that okay? Okay. Conversation's done.
Do you need anything? No. Well, that's it? Just no. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
No.
Or, you know, if they're texting back and forth on the app, that could also be, if they're not advanced to the point where they've shared phone numbers and can text each other personally, you know, where you could talk by, I guess you talk by text anyway, but, you know, and a lot of people don't want to thumb a paragraph to you.
Or this is a person, which would be very rare for a younger generation girl, but that doesn't use her phone that often. She puts her phone down while she's going to work and she does all this other stuff. And then she looks, you know, 20 minutes later, it's like, oh, okay, she left me a message here. Yes. And puts the phone back down and continues on whatever she was doing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have her phone in her hand.
Person doesn't exist. What are you talking about?
It's not the 1950s where she's on the other side of the line just curling her hair. And oh my God, I just want to talk to her all day long.
If you're in pursuit of somebody like that, like a relationship, and they're a dry texter, then move along, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste a lot of time.
Right, and if they were really into you, they would pursue you, you know, maybe type more than a word in response to whatever you had to say. Thank you, Heather. Send your questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Heather has, do we get a lot of prison mail?
I have not checked it yet today. I get all my other stuff done first.
Oh, my God. I got a lot of it in there. I like it, though. I like it. Talking about your commissary. I don't need to know all the details about your crimes.
You don't want the 3-page letter that cost them $1.25 to...
No, I'm going to... Because they spent money, that kind of money to you know, a quarter of whatever it is, 5 cents a minute or whatever, I'm going to read every word because I don't want them to, you know, spend money. And yeah, I'm going to read
it.
It's
getting read at least two, maybe even three times. It was well worth that nickel.
Right.
And it's also upsetting me because every damn one of them are innocent in there. We have to figure out a way to get them out.
They are.
I love that scene in Shawshank. Heywood, what are you in here for? Didn't do it. All right. When we return... There's much to get to. Michael Moore believes that student protesters have the right to trespass and take over buildings, which is unique.
Okay, well, let them into Michael Moore's house.
Right, they have the right to. And America's worst mayor just got worsterer. Your remarks as well. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Anti-Israel protesters in New York City tried to get at the Met Gala last night. About a couple of thousand, they say. Blocked by cops trying to get to the Met. Burning American flags, spraying graffiti, Gaza, stop the genocide. Blah, 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 blah. They vandalized the World War I Memorial. It's always a nice thing to do. Very patriotic. They said it was absolute anarchy. In the beginning, no cops were in sight. Then the cops mobilized about 15 blocks away and moved toward them. There was their crowd was a part of the Day of Rage protests organized by a Palestinian activist group called Within Our Lifetime. Blah, 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 blah. Israel has Rafah. They're urging them, the U.S. has put a weapons shipment to Israel on hold. The Gaza side of the Rafah border is what they say. I'm trying to figure out my little handy-dandy map here. It doesn't get that detailed. What are they talking about, the Gaza side of the Rafah border?
Rafah also, I believe, is against Egypt as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
they have an important... that's an important thoroughfare for them. But I guess the White House is urging to stop, slow down. They don't want a major operation, so on and so forth. The way I see it, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're a sovereign nation. And if they had to do it without our,
I mean, this is really the end of the campaign.
Right, it's the very end of it. The part if you don't complete, it's like trying to get all the cancer out. If you don't get it all out, it comes back. So, anyway. More, it'll lead to more and more angst on the streets of America. There was an attempt on Zelensky's life, or they caught them before there was an attempt.
No, there actually was an attempt on his life.
I'm sure there's been a lot of them.
Yeah, I guess there was a rocket that was launched basically at the convoy that he happened to be traveling in. I think it was him and like the Greek prime minister, I believe, they're saying that the generals gave the information to Russia on where he was going to be, and they just failed. They missed.
Wow. Both colonels are charged with treason, one charged with preparing a terrorist act. They received two drones and ammunition from Russia's state security office, which they intended to transfer to another accomplice to carry out the explosion. They foiled it, actively developed plans. One of the tests was the agent networks to find perpetrators among the military close to the president's security who could take the head of state hostage and then kill him. So is this to end the war, or is somebody mad because they haven't got their cut of all the aid money yet?
I believe probably to end the war. They think that if they get rid of Zelensky, they can either, I don't know if they're part of Russia and they think that they can surrender Ukraine at that point, or what their beliefs were, but I think they, in their mind, I mean, you're talking two colonels. This isn't a low level, a bunch of guys getting together to try to have a coup. Well, that's basically what they tried. They had two high level military guys try to have a coup.
I did notice here on the Visit Ukraine website that you should come to Ukraine. The number of Ukrainians that declared an annual income of more than $1 million in 2023 was over 10,000. Then that's also 1,200 more than 2022. How does a country get 1,200 more millionaires in a war? I don't know.
And I believe that was up another 1,000 from the year before. So over the past couple of years that they've had,
been in war,
they've actually gotten richer.
Yeah. Let's do these remarks. There's a lot in there. Come on.
From the Florida Man Radio app and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
Archives galore, commercial free, and the podcast section of this show, Don Miller Show. Call the station, text it, send us a picture, and hit the button at the bottom. Looks like a microphone. You got 30 seconds. Here we go.
Well, I'm doing my training down here on the desert floor because I can't make it up into the hills with my cane.
Training.
Does Stormy Daniels really think that we believe she was a shamed porn star, Stormy Daniels?
Yeah. Shame doesn't seem to be something they normally experience.
I don't understand how Stormy's able to lie like this on the stand, especially after they came and got all the tapes from Bubba with her stating that he was one of the best she ever had and all kinds of things that she's contradicting on the stand.
Huh.
Howdy, guys. It's Nate in Bakersfield, California. Shando, I think Kate is stepping out on your show. I was listening to the Jesse Kelly show last night, and I think she called in. It sounded exactly like her. The host called her Kate. She's all over the place instead of being faithful to your show.
I do have that audio. I would have been all right. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. But would it have killed you to mention the show?
Kate, Florida, go.
Hi, Jesse. I wanted to thank you for your perspective and your fierceness and your funny. but mostly today, I have so many family members who have served and some who have lost their lives. So Monday is particularly engaging, and I just wanted to thank you for continuing to do that. It really means a lot.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's my honor.
No plug there?
He also played a fart sound effect immediately after that, too.
Did he?
Yeah, he's like, it's not, we, sometimes I get to be serious, and he goes, and with a fart sound effect, and then moved on.
Hey, y'all. It's Pete in Georgia. And I was thinking maybe the reason the student protesters were asking for vegan meals and water and various supplies is that they haven't gotten paid yet.
Yeah, I wonder what it, hunger strike probably bumps you to the next pay level, I would imagine.
Mr. Ed from the Panhandle, Niceville. My father-in-law pointed out that Biden economics is working. His gas tank only held $35 worth of gas, and now it holds over $90 worth of gas.
That's a great analogy.
I wonder if they're keeping stats on how many girls have ended up pregnant now that they're allowed in the Boy Scouts, going camping with boys.
I would hope that number is pretty low.
Yeah, since, me too.
Don't you like level out at Eagle Scouts is usually around like 16, 17, I think?
Yeah.
Shando, we were talking about the millions of illegal aliens coming in here, which is horrible, and the one girl in Georgia, you know, people made a big stink about that. Imagine when some big terrorist thing happens, because it will. You know, over 10 million people, and I guarantee you we couldn't tell you a third of their names or anything about them. Horrible. We need to remind people, you know, hey, you voted for this dude. He let it happen, and now the blood is on your hands, so stop crying and pull up your panties.
Star Trek guy here. Believe it or not, I dated me a porn star back in the day, and of course you go raw, duh. I mean, if you're worried about her being a dirty bird, think of it this way. They get tested 3 or 4 times a year every time they do a scene. Slutty Star Trek guy was combing the streets every night and was getting tested once or twice a year. So the odds were I would give her something over that she would give me something. But I always came back clean. Beedy-beedoo.
Slutty Star Trek guy, just put that in your imaging.
Yeah, trolling for porn star.
Hi, Shannon. Got to call you out. You say you listen to other people's opinions on things, but you know darn good and well that if anybody said anything bad about Lenny Kravitz other than he was the most handsomest sexy man alive in leather pants and a mesh t-shirt, you would disagree with them and get in their faces and yell at
You're
them.
You're right.
Beedoo beedoo.
I don't know, y'all. It'd be kind of hard to smoke a goat with people always going, shame, shame.
Shame, shame. I wish there one would pop up around the Central Florida area and Johnny would hook his smoker trailer up to his truck and drag it out there and just blow him away with ribs. And
I just want one of them to show up so I can go out there. And every time that they're trying to talk, you start yelling shame. So the crowd then has to yell shame.
So shaming you? After you said shame?
Period.
Oh, they're triggered to say shame.
Yeah, they're triggered to it. So as soon as they start talking, it's like, well, the thing is going on.
Shame.
And shame. And then everybody else has to go, shame.
Then the speaker's like, no shame yet. Hold on, not yet.
I got to get the point out before we shame.
Don't shame us yet.
Those protesters sound like they're on the verge of needing some emergency hamburgers.
Yep.
They're basically fasting. You know what I mean? Jesus did it for 40 days. I pay attention to a preacher. It starts a 21-day fast at the start of every year. You know, a couple days, you're going to be all right. Where they'd get in trouble is water. If you're going to go without water, you know, that can get troubling.
I'm sure they're having water. They've announced they're going to at least consume water.
That hunger strike girl sounds a little hangry.
It's just the gall of them. They're so mad because the university's not taking care of them as they starve themselves to death.
Oh, you want to bring them a Snickers? Hungry? Here's a Snickers.
Sneak what? Sneak in a couple of fun sizes on them?
For that chick whose man said lipstick on a pig to her, the way he's talking to her, I feel sorry for this girl because he clearly does not like her. He's over it. He don't like her. And it's only going to get worse from here.
Man.
Hey, it's Pete again. I remember going hungry a couple times when I was in college. I'd buy a bag of Pops Right and eat that for a few days. Good times.
Oh, popcorn? How many kids would kill for some ramen right now?
Hey, boys. Heather. Hey, Gretchen. Man, tell that POS that at least you can, I don't know, at least you're putting makeup on, you can lose some weight. I don't know what the problem is, but he's always going to be shallow. Therefore, he's always going to be ugly. Man, ditch that loser. Be-do-be-do.
Yeah.
To the guy that said his wife looks like a pig after giving birth to his child, it's easy. Stop having sex with him. Tell him to take care of himself. That why would he want to have sex with a pig?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Man, screw that guy. He's a dick. He's nothing better than a thick woman.
Hey, the lady with the jerk husband should just tell him when he's getting ready for work, putting on cologne. Like, why are you putting on cologne? Every day you come home, you smell like a bum's nutsack.
Oh, damn.
Hey, Shannon. Everybody knows witches float because they're made out of wood. That's why they burn at the stake. Beedoo beedoo.
Muffins here, anonymous in Alabama with the back pain. You got to decompress the spine. You got to strengthen the core, loosen the hamstrings. There's no pill that can do this. There's no back surgery that can do this. This takes work. Squats work great. You don't need weight. Curtain rod works great. Inversion tables are awesome for it. It hurts the first few days, a couple weeks, but once you get through it, do it every day, it works awesome. Start your day with it and stick with it.
I got an inversion table. It's in my garage.
It's a terrible place to do an inversion table because
it's
always too hot to ever want to be on an inversion table.
And there's no room in the house. Once you start using that thing, you take up a lot of room, you know? Wait, I missed this one here.
Hey, guys. Well, I find it a little rich that Stormy Daniels said that she was shaking and she felt so embarrassed after she had sex with Trump. But evidently none of the stuff that she's done on camera all these years have ever bothered her in the least. That was just all in good taste, I suppose. Whatever, Stephanie. Be-do-be-do.
That CNN reporter that was complaining about having dinner with MAGA Trump supporters. This is also the same reporter, I believe, that sat in a rat in ankle-deep water on CNN live to report how bad the flooding is due to climate change. And two guys walk behind her and just kind of ruin the whole segment.
Is that her?
It might be.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. That's a no on that one. All right.
Hey, guys. Maybe it's just me, but I've always felt that Kristi Noem has kind of overdone, you know, her hair and makeup and all of that. I mean, how many coats of paint does a car need? You know, I mean, if she's an actress, that's one thing, but as a governor or a VP candidate, I don't know. It just seems overdone. I mean, her lips look like they're about to explode, you know, and I'm kind of glad her true colors are coming out.
She is an attractive woman.
Every, I always knew that Star Trek guy was just a filthy, filthy animal. Every, filthy, every.
Quick point on BSA allowing girls into Boy Scouts. It's actually separated. So you have either all boys troops or all girls troops. They don't co-mingle at the Boy Scout level, teenage level. So only time they get to be in the same place is like summer camps. But yeah, it's sketchy.
You can sneak out of the cabin in the middle of the night, you know?
Well, if they want to, they'll get there.
Wade across the creek.
Star Trek guy dating porn star.
Hey, Shandoe, Ian, Heather, F-dub in the tub up here in Okaloosa Island. Just thought I'd chime in on this Stormy Daniels thing. I mean, this is years ago, 2006, And then they went through that big trial 4 or 5 years ago. And she was the only hooker that ended up having to pay the John. Can you believe this? I mean, what a travesty of justice. Anyway, a good show, guys. Hope you're cooling down. It's about 84 up here in the handle.
Didn't she say she hadn't paid him as the legal fees because she didn't think it was fair?
Yeah. She owes him $300,000.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair. Well, that's nice of the judge. It's cool with that.
Hey, to that dude who sent a letter into the show, who's all worried about some chick who's not texting him back with a bunch of flamboyant, I guess, verbiage. Sounds to me like you might need to change from Tinder over to Grindr. Bidu bidu.
Hate to say this about that one girl that the guy said lipstick on a pig because she sounds like a sweetheart, but I'll guarantee you that guy's probably cheating on her already while she was carrying the baby. That just sounds like something he would do.
Man, we really already indicted this guy, haven't we?
Now, got to watch what you say.
Yeah, sounds to me like he's running drugs, too.
And to be pushing 200 pounds at 5'10 as a female, yeah, maybe you should lose 40 pounds after pregnancy. That 20 pounds might still be a little chunky at 175, you know what I'm saying, at 5'10 for a woman. But at the end of the day, who knows how it's been really said. There's always three sides of the story.
You know,
she's right, he's right, or and then you got the middle, the truth.
Yeah. Guys that have their height, weight thing down in their mind about women, I'm concerned about them. It's just, you know, I couldn't tell you what my wife weighed. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's not a visual thing that just like,
I just know she's hot. That's all that matters.
Hey, this is Libtard Gerard. I was out there with all the other hippies in Denver at the marijuana club, and they had an inversion table in there, and we was taking turns hitting the gravity bong upside down on the inversion table. Then one feller, man, he's amazing. He went in the inversion table, rolled a blunt, lickety split, upside down, not a drop on the ground.
It's a talent right there.
Sure is. Sound like maybe that was a competition they had going on. Can you roll an inversion table joint?
Hey, crew. I'm really digging this Heather Has Answers. This is Derek from Virginia, a.k.a. Cruise Guy. I love how you guys went to every day instead of once a week and multiple cruises or multiple stories. Just knows I like to see how people are more messed up than I am. All right. Take care. Love the show.
Heather Has Answers at gmail.com.
Yeah, I thought that was all the ultimatum set last week, that no more announcing yourself when you call in remarks, so much to the point that we made Sparky curl up in the fetal position. And I'm still hearing people do it.
Well, maybe you could go to their house.
If we have rules for one, let's have them for all, in my opinion, except for Wong Hung Lo, of course.
You know, Star Trek guy never said it was a female porn star.
Poor Star Trek guy. Come on.
Anthony Fauci has killed way more dogs than Christy Noem.
True. I mean, yes. You're doing medical experiments on animals, more than likely. Yeah, you do. Those are the remarks for this hour. We'll do it again in the final hour of the program. Get the app, hit the button, look for the little microphone down at the bottom, and go to town. We're getting dark when we return.
It's Tuesday. We're going to have to talk about some secret government plans. And when you border another nation, you always have to keep some plans together on, well, if we decide we're going to invade that other country.
What if they decide they're going to invade us?
You also have to worry about that as well. And a lot of governments do have it. Canada should be watching us like hawks, because we've thought about it multiple times with Canada. Just to let you guys know.
Those pussies are going to invade the United States.
Oh, well, just let you know, they have plans to invade us as well.
We got them on lock, you think?
Oh, yeah.
I think we could defend ourselves against them. Also, cicadas are like lobster or shrimp. They're so closely related to lobster that the FDA has issued reminders to avoid them if you have a shellfish allergy. They're arthropods. He enjoys cicadas with a scampi-style pasta sauce made from butter, white wine, and garlic. Just like you would eat with shrimp. Anything you can make with shrimp, you can make with cicadas.
I'll make some for Heather.
But cicadas, I mean, do you peel away the shell like you do a shrimp or a lobster and eat the meat out of the middle?
Than like a crawdad, you got to get that shell off there and eat. You're not eating the shell. Eat that gooey inside.
He said the texture of a cicada is that of a tiny soft shell crab, a gentle crunch that yields soft, delicious meat with a mild woody flavor that develops during the years the insects have been growing very slowly underground, feeding on sap from tree roots. We'll give you a recipe to make cicada kimchi. This is going to be, we could solve world hunger with the trillions of cicadas that are emerging right now, right?
I'm just trying to find a place where I can actually order some. I don't want to go outside and go pick my own cicadas.
It's free-range cicadas
yeah,
here.
Yeah, but that's a lot of work. I got stuff during the week. I got to figure out someone that can get me some, just a pack of cicadas.
Just a big bag of cicada meat? Ugh. All right, that's next. Wait.
No, you have this one. It's meat time.
Oh, that's right. By the way, yeah, Jonathan Morris at the bottom of the next hour. Maybe he's got some cicada recipes. Slow roasted on an open fire, a little just on some mesquite wood, you know?
I mean, it seems like you want to do a lot of sautéing with it. They do a lot of the recipes on there. I'm going to go to the guy's website.
You take the head off and the wings off
the
legs.
I'm going to look up the guy's recipes he has on his site.
Ugh, all right. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Are you doing time? Lonely, or is your cellmate stealing from your commissary? Go ahead and vent your inmate issues to Heather at escapewithheather@gmail.com.
Cheesy cicada casserole. Cicada stuffed pasta shells. Even tempura cicadas. But don't get excited. Even the tempura batter is loaded with cricket power. This guy likes to get him out there. He goes out and forages to get his hands on fresh, high-quality cicadas at their peak.
Honestly, as much as this guy loves himself on his webpage, we may be able to get this guy to come down here and cook some cicadas for us.
Really?
I mean, he does press. That's all his website is, every press that he's ever done before.
He said, we don't understand fully. This guy is Joseph Yoon. The core aspects of their body, an entomologist says, their theories about the insects counting the years through the compounds and tree sap, soil temperature, their underground communication, none managed to completely unravel the mystery of the cicada. And they do agree you can cook a cicada at any point in its life. As long as it wasn't burrowed in contaminated soil, they're entirely safe to eat.
Well, how do I know if he was burrowed in contaminated soil?
I don't know.
Is there like a test you can give him?
Well, you got to go out in the woods, you know, where it's unlikely to be contaminated. A lot of people wait a while after they burst from their exoskeletons. If the cicadas are gathered as that tenural stage when they come out when they're fresh out of the exoskeleton and they're not cooked right away, put them on ice. Within a matter of hours, or they'll go through another growth spurt, shifting into adults, and they're not as delicious.
You gotta have them young, huh?
Just like veal. It's like the veal of cicadas.
Can I, like, do you know like the unlimited cicadas at Red Lobster? You just give it different flavors.
I mean, Cicada Fest?
Yeah. as broke as Red Lobster is right now, they may be considering it.
Delicious Cicada Fest.
You get your saute. You can get it cicada gumbo.
My big family sitting around a table just eating cicadas. I think when people say, when they talk about eating them, you think about the bug itself and perhaps it's dead or cooked. And now it's got some sauce on it on a plate. But
I mean, that's pretty much what they're doing.
They take the, they gotta have to take the thorax off the head. Like, you don't eat the head of a shrimp or a
crawfish or a lobster. It looks like the, everything's intact in the images I could see. So I don't know what, I don't know how you clean your cicadas.
The bug with the wings on it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, you're not gonna, you're losing some extra crunch if you get rid of the wings.
Yeah. Is this all this guy cooks with? He does some grasshoppers and crickets and stuff.
No, he does grasshoppers and crickets and fly larvae, and he's just, that's his thing. He makes insect food.
Mm. Scampi style with pasta.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're going to do a shrimp scampi, a little white wine sauce, heavy garlic.
Oof. You can catch him for 3 weeks. Where is he in Wisconsin? 3 weeks, as long as they last?
Yeah, I think they have a pretty short brood life.
I haven't heard one yet here in Florida.
Mostly in Georgia right now.
Was it later they emerge here? Or
It's supposed to be within the next week or so is the full, the big, the whole group, I think, was the 15th or the 16th.
Cicadacopolis? What? Oh, May 15th to 16th?
Yeah.
All right. It'd be nice to hear one or two.
Or get out there with a little net. Let everyone know.
We're going to be eating cicadas tonight?
Dinner at your house is going to be cicadas tonight.
I thought we used to take a piece of thread and wrap it around their, that little space between their head and their body. While they're still alive, and they fly around like a model plane for hours, and then until they, you know, tucker out eventually.
And you didn't know that you could just snack down them with a little salt and pepper.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I could put some nacho cheese, just dip this right in there. It's the guts and the gross, you know. I can't get away from that. A bursting gut of an insect.
Well, I mean, if it's cooked, I don't know what the everybody. I mean, we think of how much we love lobster.
Yes.
Lobster's a sea roach.
It used to be, yeah, it used to be poor people food.
And if you try to ever crack open a lobster that hasn't been cooked, and it just goo out, just swarms out of there.
Yep.
And
yep.
A crab that's not been cooked.
Even a cooked lobster got a little bit of goo in it.
Yeah.
You don't eat that part.
Well, I mean, once you
suck the head of a crawfish, maybe. Oh, yeah, I guess it's safe. It's not disgusting any longer. Ugh. All right, let's get dark. Darker than eating gooey bug guts.
Do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
When you got some neighbors, you always have to have a secret plan. Most of the time you don't want to broadcast the fact that you have a chance that you may invade your neighbors at any time.
You would invade them.
Or they would invade you, or, I mean, you got to have the secret plan of you invading them, and then you have to have a secret plan of what you're going to do if they invade you.
Okay. I mean, you mean right now, I mean, we have great relations with Canada.
Oh, I bet you we have a plan on what we would do if we had to.
It wouldn't be difficult.
I mean, the one we'll talk about wasn't that long ago.
If we just put an all-white force on the border, they would find the inequality offensive and wouldn't fight.
Mm-hmm. Also, you have to be mad at them too, so they have to just spend the whole time saying sorry. <It's> terrible. I'm sorry. Actually, but there was a time back in World War II when we may have been the bad guys. You know, we always talk about how USA rah rah always
back
to back
world champs.
Yeah, well. We hadn't decided which side we were going to be on this time.
We hadn't?
Nope. There was... I don't want to really talk about it, but there was a time when we were like, all right, Germany's doing some stuff. We're really getting tired of the way Great Britain keeps running their mouth. We could join up with Germany and give them a little more of that American Revolution stuff. We considered it. A lot more than people think. And Canada would have been on the way. We weren't sure totally side which they were going to take in World War II, and they were still considering the possibility of taking the opportunity to declare war on Great Britain. And it was going to start with an invasion of Canada. If Great Britain attacked the U.S., they figured that they would that Great Britain would position their troops in Canada, which would be the only way they really get here. So the Americans didn't want to let that happen, so they were going to make a preemptive strike, and they would attack Canada first.
Wow.
The goal was to take Halifax so the British couldn't use the port. To make it fast, they would bomb the city with poisonous gas. That's right. We thought about bombing those poor Canadians with poisonous gas.
Using chemical agents against them.
Yeah, I told you, we're not always the good guys. Then move to my Niagara Falls and take over the power plants at Niagara Falls. From there would be a full-on invasion with American troops charging through Quebec and Winnipeg and capturing the nickel mines in Western Ontario. Meanwhile, the Navy would move south and take Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Bermuda. Once they had British America, they had the British Americas, they figured that Great Britain would just stay over there and not want to actually come over here. So, their only worry was that Canada itself may declare itself neutral and refuse to fight, which then, damn it, we couldn't go after them if they just declared themselves Swiss.
If they refuse to fight, we can't attack them?
Yeah, the whole plan went on the fact that they thought that Canada would immediately be still
a royal territory.
The royal territory would go, oh, of course, yes, we're going to do whatever Great Britain says, so we'll definitely, you guys can come here and attack America. We would have been upset and was like, oh, man, they're so nice, and they said they're just going to stay neutral, we can't attack them. Which, they in
plus,
their case,
they're all girly.
Mm-hmm, they planned on not letting them stay peaceful. If the Canadians tried to be pacifists, they would have to give up their ports and some of their land. Otherwise, the U.S. Army would march in. So we even thought about, if they do stay pacifist, we're just going to take their stuff like bullies. Like, what are you going to do?
All right, back away, passive people. We're going to take this and that and this port and then Niagara Falls.
Now, that all sounds crazy when you think about it nowadays. But the crazier plan is the fact that Canada had their own secret plan to invade the U.S., and they developed theirs first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were thinking about it well before we even thought about it. As early as 1921, Canada was already worrying that America might attack. So they were ready to strike back. And just like the Americans, they planned on doing so with a preemptive strike. They even sent an officer to travel through the U.S. looking for weak spots that they could attack.
Hmm.
Now, Canada didn't actually want to expect to conquer the U.S. In fact, they knew they would get absolutely destroyed. They just wanted to keep the Americans busy long enough for Great Britain to come over and help them. Their plan was to send troops down the West Coast, while a team of Quebec fighters took Albany and maritime troops took Maine. They catch the U.S. off guard, and then when the Americans recoup, flee back over the border, leaving scorched earth in their wake. Every bridge, railway, factory, and farm would be burned to a crisp, crippling the U.S. and buying them enough time for their allies to move in.
Wow.
They believed if it did happen to happen, the Canadians figured they would have a lot of allies. Japan, France, Mexico would join and help destroy the U.S.
I can't see that happening.
Japan would have.
Japan, yeah.
France would have done nothing, and Mexico may have thought about it.
Yeah.
They'd have definitely thought about it. They'd have gotten at least to maybe the border and took a look around to see what Texas was up to.
Time for siesta.
And it, yeah. Now, if history had gone just a little bit differently, the Cold War itself wouldn't have been so cold at all. That's right. We also thought about dropping nukes, like a lot of them. It would have been an all-out nuclear apocalypse that would have wiped Russia off the map, in fact. Early on, the U.S. was the only country with access to nuclear weapons, and they had every plan to use them. They developed at least 9 separate plans to blow the USSR away. One of them, the most intense one, was called for a sudden strike of 300 nuclear bombs on 200 targets in USSR, followed by a massive land invasion that they would expect to be over in no time.
300 nukes?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The U.S. government even marked a date on their calendar. January 1st, 1957, they were going to unleash their nuclear arsenal on the Soviets.
Wow.
We only stopped when the plan when the USSR actually tested and was successful with their own atomic bomb, at which point we were like, ah, damn it.
Oh, they finally got it.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
If it hadn't been for that, the U.S. may have possibly gone through with it and left Russia a smoldering radioactive wasteland.
Of anyone course, else wanted to blow out of the sky?
Well, Russia, once they got their nukes, they also decided
they got a plan.
They had some plans, except it was not us.
It wasn't?
No, it was mostly Europe. The Soviets had their own plans. They probably had more schemes than we'll ever know, but one that was written up in 1979 has been leaked, and if they had gone through, it would have basically sparked World War III. The plan was based on the idea that NATO was going to launch a nuclear strike first on Poland, which is a strong notion that some people think is just penciled in to make the rest of the plot seem more justifiable. Either way, the USSR planned to hit NATO hard. They were going to launch 7.5 megatons worth of atomic weapons at targets in West Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Denmark. Then they would send troops in, seize every part of Europe up to the River Rhine.
Yeah, that would have definitely been a World War situation.
They did expect some casualties. Prague and Warsaw, they believed, would be destroyed by the nuclear strikes, and they were planning on sending the Polish army on a suicide mission. Within 7 days, they predicted that more than 2 million Polish people would die, and the new World War would have begun.
In 7 days.
7 days. 2 million wow. Polish people and the start of what would have been the end of the world.
Yeah, with that many nukes going off.
I mean, that would have been the end of the world because we would have at that point started just lobbing them like crazy.
Yeah, into the motherland for sure.
The Nazis. They always had backup plan after backup plan. That some of them didn't work, and a lot of them involved gypsies and the occult. Well, they also believed that their alliance with Japan would never last. Theirs was a marriage of convenience, and when the war ended, things would change sooner or later. Hitler warned his staff, there will be a showdown between the white and the yellow races. Sounds very Hitler-like.
So does. Sure does.
That's so Hitler.
The yellows and the whites.
He believed it wouldn't happen until the distant future, predicting there might be 100 years of peace before Japan and the Nazis clashed. Still, he said the Germans must be ready. So Himmler was tasked with getting the SS ready to fight. His biggest worry was that the Germans would grow complacent and weak during peace. He planned on keeping his soldiers tough by having them carry on with merciless racial eradication. And when they seemed to be getting weak, posting them to an ice-cold winter in Siberia. Best way for troop morale. When your soldiers just are so tired of killing people that look different than them, just put them up in the Siberia. The key, though, would have to be a population that can handle it. He would spend the next decade getting the German people to breed like a botanical garden, is words he.
After they annihilated.
Well, no, after the end of World War II, they wanted to have a little peace with Japan, but they were like, hey, we still got to do some racist stuff.
Yeah.
But also, when you guys aren't doing racist stuff,
please,
just
have more babies.
Yeah, just go crazy. This was to get their population as big as they possibly could. And when the time came, he predicted Japan would have an army of more than 1 billion men. Germany would be ready to match their numbers.
A billion?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm not sure how he thought Japan would have an army of more than 1 billion men. I don't know where they're going to put them on that island, but he said that there were going to be just as many Germans because they are getting the shogun on. The Swiss. You would think that's a whole country that wouldn't have plans because they always are so neutral.
Yeah, you don't think they have any plans except plans to comfort other people with chocolate and cheese.
And with those St. Bernards with the little barrels around their neck. It's all so
full of rum, right?
Or brandy? Or,
yeah, one or the other.
Yeah,
but,
like
which is the worst thing for you to drink while you're stuck in the snow because it makes you feel warm, but it...
Well, actually, they flirted with the idea of jumping into the war in 1940. They actually almost did. By then, Switzerland was completely surrounded by Axis armies and had to seriously consider the possibility that this whole leave Switzerland alone thing might not last very long. They were pretty sure the Axis would turn on them at any time, so they started getting ready. The Swiss withdrew all their troops from the borders and moved them up into the Alps, where they set up a chain of mountain fortresses and bunkers to prepare for an invasion. They also ran drills, reenacting the battles that were happening in the country's next door, which I bet you was adorable. Just a bunch of Swiss soldiers on either, pretending to be either side, like they're doing a Civil War reenactment about the war that's going on in the country outside of there.
In a nice way.
Yeah. They did everything in their power to let the Axis see them doing it, hoping that they would get the message that if they messed with Switzerland, it would not be easy. It wasn't exactly paranoia. The Nazis had a secret plan of their own called Operation Tannenbaum, and it was exactly what the Swiss had predicted. Switzerland, Hitler believed, was a pimple on the face of Europe. If the tides of war had turned against the Axis, the Nazis would have charged straight into Switz, and the armies in those Alps would have had to practice to do what they had been,
their war gaming or... Mm-hmm. Role-playing or whatever they're doing.
Now, a lot of these plans we've talked about are pretty old. It's been a while since anybody's ever thought about invading people. Oh, no, until just recently, weirdly enough. We had gone quite a while with peace until everybody started messing with each other again.
Yeah.
Variable peace. It doesn't mean that countries have stopped coming up with ways to invade each other. Back in 2014, Turkey had a conspiracy to invade Syria, and it was leaked onto no one other than YouTube. Yeah, that's right. No
really?
Better place for your secret military plans to land on than the same place that Mr. Beast has videos.
Yeah, you and Mr. Beast.
In the recordings, Turkish minister, Mr. Beast actually has plans as well to invade countries. I'm assuming mainly because he's going to do one of those videos and he's going to put the little thumbnail where he's got the shocked face and it's Mr. Beast invades another country. He's going to get 2 billion views.
To raise enough money to buy some more arms to invade another country. Another country.
In this recording, Turkish ministers can be heard talking about a possible terrorist attack on the tomb of Süleyman Shah, the father of the founder of the Ottoman Empire. It's 2014, and we had countries that were talking about, hey, let's go raid the tomb of a guy that's been dead for a couple hundred years.
The former head of the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah. Rather than being worried about, one of the ministers says, the terrorist attack must be seen as an opportunity for us. If the terrorists attacked, they felt they would have an excuse to send more soldiers in Syria and launch an all-out war.
Yeah.
Turkish intelligence chief Hakan Fidan, he took it even further, stating if the terrorists didn't attack, he promised he would send in actors to fake an attack.
False flags.
I'll send 4 men to Syria. If that's what it takes, Fidon promised. Legitimacy is not a problem. Legitimacy can be manufactured, which is a great quote.
Legitimacy can be manufactured.
Yeah, that's a stellar quote.
Sure is.
I mean, that's a war crime, but it's a stellar quote.
Yeah, it's a great way to describe a war crime.
The U.S. Army, we're ambitious. We've had multiple plans to invade other countries. I'm sure we have a file folder that we just pull out. That just, okay,
Algeria. Who's giving us trouble? Lithuania. Break out the plans.
Lithuania. we also planned what we would do if we had to invade the moon.
Invade the moon?
The moon, yes, of course. Because the Red Scourge had a chance of getting to the moon as well, so we had to know exactly what we would do.
They just launched something the other day, didn't they?
China did, yes.
Yeah, on the dark side of the moon.
They keep trying to get to that dark side of the moon. There's something over there.
Yeah. We know.
We don't want to go there.
We don't want to go to the dark.
We put people on the light side of the moon.
Yeah.
If
we want to see what we're doing.
Yeah, we're like, hey, guys. Well, we want everybody to, hey, take a look. See, there's American flag on the moon right there. We don't know what's on the dark side of the moon. China's like, we got to get over there and see what's going on.
Right. No one's ever seen it. God knows what they're doing up there. Sneaky little bastards.
Who knows? 1959, the U.S. Army decided that just invading countries on Earth was not ambitious enough, and they were going to take it one step further, and they were going to nuke the moon.
That's the dumbest plan ever.
The plan was actually partially to conduct a science experiment, which maybe, it may have also been we wanted to see what would happen. They wanted to see the effects of overfunding on board military, but they mostly just wanted to freak the Soviets out.
Just so they get, what are they doing to the moon?
Could you imagine you call them up? I don't know, it's 59. I don't know who was the Russian leader in 59.
Khrushchev.
It was Khrushchev. Yeah. Calling Khrushchev and like, hey, walk outside, take a look with the moon. Watch this.
Count to 10. Well, that would F up everything, wouldn't it? Rising tides. Low tide. And
I don't know. It depends on how strong of a nuke we actually.
It would make Friday 13 absolutely harmless. No more full moons. Dangerous nights for cops.
I don't know how much damage it would actually do. I mean, we're talking one.
We gotta have a moon. All the other planets got moons.
But we're not completely blowing up the moon.
Oh, you
drop one nuke on the surface isn't going to blow up the moon.
All right. If you say, well, you're right. Moon's pretty big.
Wait, you saw Armageddon. How many did they have to drop? They had to drill like four times on that moon to get nukes down there.
That was an asteroid. Yeah.
It's no different. All right. That was smaller than the moon.
You're okay. It would just create space nuclear fallout. I mean,
not to mention the
radiation that's already there. But it would be pretty nice show of force.
We actually had scientists crunch the numbers to figure out just how big of one we have to use, though, for the explosion to be visible from Earth.
It's no good if we can't see it.
This clue would convince the USSR that we could do it whatever we wanted. And, the U.S. didn't go through with it because someone managed to convince the military that probably wasn't a good PR move to nuke the moon.
As a warning.
Yeah, they did come shockingly close to do it. In fact, they even hired Carl Sagan to work on a secret plot to attack the moon. That's right. Carl Sagan, his spaceship of imagination, was calculating the numbers on what we could do about blowing up the moon.
To impress some Russians.
Also remember, this is 1959, so we had never even landed on the moon yet. We were already thinking about just launching a nuke at it.
That's amazing.
And then, of course, the U.S., we have plans on invading our own people.
We do.
Many of them. In fact,
Posse Comitatus.
Over history, we've had it multiple times. During the first half of the 20th century, the United States made plans to invade pretty much, well, every country on the earth, including themselves. It was called War Plan White. And it was the American plan to handle internal disorder. Otherwise, fighting your own people. At the time, union workers around the country were fighting for labor rights, and the U.S. government was worried it was going to build up its communist revolution. War Plan White was their plan to deal with what they called leftist radical insurrection.
We need the War Plan White back in action.
The military corps of engineers were to take over every public utility, while the Navy protected military equipment, and the Army marched to the people trying to keep them in order. Meanwhile, a secret police... they were going to set up in Pennsylvania, which would spy on troublemakers to make sure that they are ready to stop them. Boy, that's very KGB-esque.
Sure is.
They actually worked on the legalities of shooting American citizens, even when it would be justifiable, and how far they could go. And as time went on, they reworked it for each new era. You got the hippies.
Oh, yeah.
And then those...
what's that called? War Plan Patchouli?
Yeah, and then all those, angry civil rights people. They worked on a plan for that, too. The most recent plan that leaked was from the U.S. military to fight an uprising of black people wanting civil rights.
Wow, that was the last time they updated this plan?
Yeah. We still call it Warplane.
I bet they're updating it now.
I doubt they still call it that now anymore.
That's politically incorrect.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. I guarantee you they've got it. That war plan white sounds like it's time to activate it right about now.
I would think a good guess that we have brushed off war plan white at least a couple more times and checked it out. Like, there's definitely a guy.
Updated it.
He's blown it off and he's put it in, he's probably digitized it now.
Right. Yeah, it's probably not on the shelf. Jonathan Morris will join us next. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show.
And radio.
From Morris Family Farms is in the studio with us every Tuesday. Also host of Between the Ribs on Saturdays, 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
What's going on? I think the biggest news of the day, or the week, rather.
Take your fake lab-grown meat elsewhere. We're not doing that in the state of Florida.
We're not doing it in the state of Florida. Poor timing for Jeff Bezos, who has invested some $60 million into a lab-grown meat project in Florida, but I don't know.
He actually criminalized it.
It'll be challenged, I'm sure. Bezos and his ilk will challenge it. They announced a $60 million initial investment in sustainable protein, including cultivated meats, just before Ron DeSantis barred the state lab-grown meat in the state. The legislation SB 1084 in effect went into effect on May 1st, casting it as a bid to stop World Economic Forum's goal of forcing the world to eat lab-grown meat and insects.
Amen. That's fantastic. I love it. We covered it a little bit on Saturday.
The lab-grown meat and insects, that's an overlooked source of protein. Well, I'm sure there are a lot of other overlooked, but it doesn't mean just because we overlooked it means we've got to start eating it.
Bald eagles have great protein.
I mean, you know,
it's stupid. It's a stupid argument. We all know it's a forced agenda. Everybody's listening. We're preaching to the choir, but it's a forced agenda to get rid of animals because it's the hot market, which is vegetables and meat. It's called a hot market. It's based on supply and demand. So when you take consumers away from buying beef at the store, and the grocery stores quit buying beef from the packers, and the packers tell the farmers,
right,
quit sending cows because they ain't buying it no more. Somebody has to break the food chain, and it's going to be on the farm when they reduce the herds. And then when people realize there's a problem, it's going to be too late because the cow population is going to be so low, it'll be hard to come back from. So that's the agenda, is to get people to stop raising cows.
I also believe that to a certain extent, I know that most of the arguments for some way to replace meat are about control more than anything. The climate effect is of that raising cattle is.
Can you imagine how much more detrimental it is to the climate? Because see, when you start growing and harvesting insects, you have to erode the soil. So now we're going to get into soil erosion.
Well, they're going to harvest them in the farms.
They're going to build farms.
There'll be massive cricket farms.
And where are they going to get the dirt and the stuff to grow these things? You know, it doesn't make sense. Nothing they say about it makes sense for the climate. It's actually worse for the environment. It's proven that the lab-grown meats, the factories, everything they do to...
Oh, yeah.
That it's worse for the climate than a cow walking around.
Right. And worse for your health because... Lab-grown meat and fake meat, yeah, have, you know, when you got 80, 90, 100 ingredients wrapped up in a burger patty, man, you're going the wrong direction.
Really wrong. And for all the people out there that, you know, the animal, you kill one cow, you feed a lot of people. Do you know how many crickets you got to kill to feed somebody?
Bazillion.
Exactly.
You get one cricket burger, 4 million crickets die for that one cricket cheeseburger you're having right now.
Right? It's ridiculous. It's stupid. I applaud DeSantis. I don't know. Does he have the ability to pull it off? Can he really criminalize it and make it where you can't transport it through the state, sell it in the state?
Oh, is that what it's?
Yeah, there's two things he signed. I left my bag. I got here. I barely got here on time.
I think you'll be able to buy it. Maybe.
There's two stories.
You just can't make it. We're not producing lab grown meat in the state of Florida.
Well, if I have time to run through the truck in the break, there's one that says you can't buy it, truck it, transport it, sell it in the state of Florida.
Some people will challenge that because they were like, you're taking our right to eat lab grown meat from us. We want lab grown meat. It's our God given right to eat lab grown meat.
All men are created equal. Oh, sweet Jesus. So he may not be able to enforce that part of it, but he can definitely say, I mean, can he though? I'm not being facetious here. I'm asking, does the governor have the power to say you can't produce fake meat in our state? Does he have that power?
That's a good question.
I hope he does. I mean, I really do.
I don't know.
Why he wouldn't be able to. He can deny their business license as an industry.
So there wouldn't be any lab-grown meat being created in the state of Florida.
Right.
But, and I don't know why Bezos chose this project in Florida. They always talk about, there are 10 billion people on there that we need to be able to feed them and a healthy, sustainable food, while protecting our planet. And we can do it, and it'll require a lot of innovation, and it's going to take a lot of slaughter-free counterparts like Impossible Foods, and it's going to take lab-grown meat, and it's going to take lots and lots of crickets and locusts and,
Yeah, if he really cared, he'd put $60 million over in South Africa somewhere, Zimbabwe, where people actually starved to death.
Right.
And build them a place.
Right.
And give them food. We got plenty of cows and chickens and ducks and geese.
Right.
And
why wouldn't you create this stuff for the people where they don't, they've got no food?
Right. They've got food deserts where they literally can't raise livestock because the wild animals eat them and they drowned in the drought. I mean, they die in the droughts and... wouldn't that be a great place to go put $60 billion?
Who was the comedian that screamed all the time he's dead? He was, that guy.
Sam Kinison.
He used to say, world hunger, all we spend this aid on world hunger. He goes, we need to go to these people. Go, listen, we're kind of tired of bringing you aid out here in the desert. We would like you to, why don't you move to where the food is? There's no food out here. And he's like, look at this. You see this? Yeah, this is sand. Nothing grows in sand.
And we're tired of trucking it out.
Right.
Here.
He's like, move to where the food is.
Yeah.
I mean,
wouldn't that be too easy?
Could we all agree that probably most of the hunger and starvation on the planet, it would be on the continent of Africa?
Yes.
Right? Wouldn't that be a good place to start feeding people crickets?
On the continent, yes.
Cricket patties. Those people say he's more likely to be near their normal. Cultural.
They probably had a few crickets before.
This ain't the first cricket we ate. We just can't grow them out here.
Yeah, put up a factory over there and just start sending it out all over the South African continent.
Cricket flour bread and locust burgers, the whole deal.
And you know what they could call it? They could call it Starve No More.
Right.
Starve No More Industries.
But the concentration is on convincing Americans to switch our diet here in the United States.
Yes, to stop doing what we have done since the beginning of time.
And in the grand scheme of the conversation about eating clean and eating right, what's cleaner than going to your place and getting a steak, taking it home, throwing it on the grill, a little salt and pepper, and eat it? That's the cleanest eating you can do.
It is, and they can't mimic that in their labs. There's nothing they can do in their lab. Their fake glue, their cricket mash.
There's nothing
they can do to mimic what we
offer. Lab-grown meat starts with real cells from real cows, right?
The embryo. They take the cells out of the embryo.
Do you remember the Poltergeist movie?
Yes.
Do you remember the scene where the guy pulls a steak out, and it's on the counter, and he's starting to have a weird paranormal experience, and that steak starts to... It's burping up more steak.
It's reproducing steaks.
It's what it looks like.
Having steaks.
I mean, I'm trying to visualize the process of lab grown meat. Does it literally grow like a muscle? Does it grow into a side of beef and then you slice it?
They grow it like they grow culture cells when they do a culture on your body.
So it's just exactly a big blob of material.
It is.
Yeah, it's nasty. I mean, it's just straight nasty. It's like, hey, we're going to do a culture on you because you're not breathing right. Wow, you got lung cancer.
Well, the thing I've been worried about is it's lab grown from cells, and then, before you know it, these are cow cells, and then we dropped a little bit of human cell.
There's a monkey cell drop.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a little human cell in there to give it a little growth.
A little flavor?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What happens when they don't grow fast enough to meet their production demands, and they add stuff to this? Because, they do that already with live animals on the commercial level. Cows don't get big enough fast enough, so they put in all the growth hormones and the steroids and all the antibiotics. So what happens with the lab meat when it's not growing fast enough for them the way they want it to grow to make the numbers they want to make to pay for
them? I'm familiar with the process. I'm imagining like a bunch of blobs in a giant room with racks full of blobs, and those blobs are growing, and one guy comes by and harvests them all. They throw them in a grinder and shoot out some ground beef.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's like that movie when they made the girlfriend out of the computer.
Right. Weird science.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's good. That's how your steak's coming. Pick your steak. Design your steak.
I like a red cow.
It's nasty. It's straight up nasty. You need a local farmer. Go to Organic Meats, 101 North Country Club Road.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture granted its first ever approved cell cultured meat produced by a couple of companies, one called Good Meat and one called Upside Foods. And then a year after that, they declared their products safe to eat. Safe to eat. Safe.
Safe to eat.
Doesn't mean good to eat.
Doesn't say fit for human consumption.
This won't kill you, we don't think. It's pretty safe to eat.
Same thing. You can put it in your mouth like a can of dirt patty.
Florida's the 13th in the United States overall cattle numbers with a total herd of 886,000. Yeah. There are 15,000 beef producers with a total sales in Florida of $546 million.
Yes, we did. We went over it Saturday with the three counties. So Florida has three counties that made the top 30 of the whole country. Polk, Osceola, and, oh my gosh, forgot the other one. But there's Okeechobee. Three counties in Central Florida, the South Florida area, that we're on the top three of the 30 in the entire country of beef cattle production.
Really?
Osceola, Polk,
Well, before these guys at Good Meat got their...
But how do they call themselves Good Meat when they don't raise meat?
Well, they considered raising meat because they started with a real cow cell. I mean, they started with, it's a real cow cell. It didn't grow inside of another cow. It's just that cell grew in a bowl.
You know how many issues that state's going to have growing up without knowing his daddy?
Not only that, this company, they have already started, they've already been very successful cultivating chicken in Singapore, where they made their first debut of an American dish made by well-known chef Jose Andres at a D.C. restaurant called China Chicana.
He doesn't sound American to me. Wait, they're cultivating chicken in China, you said?
It's Singapore. They got chicken, cultivated chicken.
And it just comes out, they put the cell in, it comes out as a little breast.
It looks like a breast. It's got some panko breading on that picture there, but that's it right there. It's just
it looks ridiculous. I mean, it's chewy and greasy. Oh. I don't know. I have no desire to even sample it. I don't want to try it. I don't want it in my mouth.
I don't either.
I mean, that's the question that chicken. Okay, I get it. Chicken breasts come out kind of the same. It's a depending on who's pumping what in antibiotics into them. But the meat texture is kind of always the same. But a cow texture is going to be different from different parts of the body where the cow is raised, the activity of the cow. I'm trying to watch a video on it, but they're doing a terrible job of actually describing the process.
Yeah, they don't want to let you see how the sausage is made.
But are they only making ground? Are they making steaks?
Steaks, but then you're not getting any fat added to it, so the muscle structure is odd to it.
The chicken I saw a video of it. They went to painstaking lengths to make it pull apart and have that muscle texture. You know, like when you pull a chicken breast apart and you see this, you know.
The strands, yes.
Yeah, it does look like that.
The muscle fibers are there.
Yeah.
Ooh. How?
Dude. Because they're not working out.
They're not walking around. Where are all the free-range people? Where's the fat?
Is there any fat in this?
Well, no, here's the thing. The people say, you can't grow chicken in a cage, that poor chicken, but you can grow one in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Right? Does that make sense? An animal has to be all that. I had a lady come in and goes, your pig's raised on concrete because I don't want to buy any bacon that's raised on concrete. I was like, well, bacon's a byproduct of a belly. Bacon's not really raised. Bacon's produced. She goes, you know what I mean. Stop trying to be funny. And I was like, well, stop asking funny questions. Like, bacon don't grow, you know?
Right.
People come in and be like, is your butter grass fed? No, butter don't eat. You know, it's like, ask a right good question. So she went on and on and on about, I found out that even all natural clean pork farms still raise them on concrete. And I don't want that. I want pigs on dirt out in the wild.
And what's the difference? Yours are out in the wild.
Mine are out on dirt underneath trees and palmettos. And we've got a little, you know, where the Soldier's Creek runs back towards the St. John's. So they've got a little water, wetlands and all that stuff. But when they come in to have their babies, we have them in up on a slab yeah. in a pen, fenced in with the, so that way the raccoons and the hawks and the coyotes yeah. don't get the babies while the mama's knocked out giving birth. Plus, you have to protect your crop. But they're not raised on concrete, but they're protected when they're being born on concrete.
Look, so I got a damn rescue dog, Vince. You know Vince.
Yeah.
I've been in a home or a pound his entire life, or a junkyard, living right. under a truck. Nails were growing all gnarly. That dog spends so much time institutionalized, he prefers to sleep and crap and pee on concrete.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, because he doesn't know anything.
We got in the front yard. He walks straight up to the apron of the driveway, lays down on the concrete in the heat. He loves it. And I'm constantly picking up his. He won't go. He goes near the grass to take a dump by the pool, but he's just right on the edge of the back of the pool. He's got to clean it up. He doesn't like to walk on grass.
Yeah.
He's institutionalized, dog.
It's crazy.
Those people don't know. If you put a grass-fed tenderloin next to one of your tenderloins, and these grass-fed idiots wanted to have, I only eat grass-fed. Okay, tell me which one of these is grass-fed. They're not going to be able to do it.
No, and here's the other thing. They've been lied to so much by the grocery store. I had a guy the other day, and I wasn't even going to argue with him because he was not worth my time. I went to your place one time, and the lady there didn't know how you raised the cow, so I left. I only go to Whole Foods, and I only eat Australian imported grass-fed beef. I was like, fantastic. He's like, maybe I'll come back and give you a try. I was like, don't bother. I was like, really? Don't worry about it.
We're big on customer service here.
Well, no, we are, but I don't want people like that.
What do you mean how you raised your... How did he raise it?
Okay,
you
remember
they're in a corral in an area to eat.
Remember the lady with all the tattoos that worked for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, he came in, he described her to a T, and she was standing there, and he asked her, and she's like, I don't know, I just work here. And he didn't like her answer and left and never came back. And I'm fine with that. Because the way he talked to me, if he was talking to her, she was
Australian. The guy eats beef only from Australia?
Supposedly from Whole Foods.
Well, how about a little love for America and America's farmers?
Yeah, he looked, I don't know.
Whole Foods.
He'll be all right.
But also, the odds of that actually being Australian grass-fed beef from Whole Foods that he's not paying about $50 a pound for is absolutely insane.
Yes. Well, I started to try to talk to him about labels and fake labels, and I was like, you know what? This guy's not worth my education. The stuff I know, he doesn't deserve to know because he's already telling me everything he wants to tell me.
Right.
And he's stuck on his Whole Foods Australian grass. It's so great. And die eating that. Fantastic. You know? Our cows, and I explain this to everybody. When I first started, because you got to realize we came off the farm, and we fed everything the way we ate it. And then we get up here, and we had people like, grass-fed, grass-fed, grass-fed. So I was like, man, that's so weird. So me and my dad talked to him. We went to 100% grass. 100%. Now, they didn't get nothing but the grass growing. We killed a couple, and they were terrible. And they were absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And the people that bought them were like, man, I really like supporting you, but I couldn't chew the steaks. And I was like, yeah, but I don't understand why you want it grown that way. And they're like, well, we don't do corn, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. I was like, yeah, but you eat a natural, balanced diet with vitamins and minerals. Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you want your cow to eat
that? Why would you deny that to your cow?
And they're like, well, what are you talking about? So I was like, look, let me just be the reality farmer for y'all. And that's kind of what we titled ourselves in, like, man, yes, our cows are out on grass their whole life. They eat hay and grass and palmettos their whole life. But we also put out a couple hundred pounds of free choice vitamins and minerals in mixed form at night.
Yeah.
They come over, they eat what they want, and they go back to the grass. And they're fan-freaking-tastic. Right. Every steak is delicious. Oh, yeah. Every cow is good. And when you look at our cows, now the ribeyes have the fat on the bottom because that's just the way the belly works, the ribeye. But the rest of them, they're all well-balanced. They're well-marbled. You know, it's a natural process through the meat.
Yeah.
You don't see a bunch of fat on one side and then a bunch of red and then a bunch of another.
Well, every time I see a grass-fed thing and those individually cryovac thing at the grocery store, there's not any fat on it. You don't see any fat in it.
Well, because they trim it off the edges. And then there are places like, okay, so if you're up in Kentucky and you're in Maine and Vermont and you're growing alfalfa and orchard grasses and that's all you're growing and they're 22% proteins with 7.5%, 8% fats. If you're growing those grasses, your cows up there when it's 40 degrees at night, even in the summer, and cows aren't sweating and, you know, like they do in the South, you can get a cow fat on nothing but that type of grass. But it takes a long time. It costs a lot of money. And you can't do it south of South Kentucky because we don't have the right grass.
People like it because it sounds good.
Yes.
That's grass-fed beef. 100% grass-fed. I mean, I would want my
all cows eat grass.
Right.
Now,
and other stuff. But yeah, if you restrict all the other stuff, you've got a tough piece of meat.
Yes. And here's the thing. I don't condone, and we don't do feedlots. We never have. We don't do them on our farm. We don't send our cows to feedlots. We don't buy from feedlots.
Right.
So to me, that's part of mass population and trying to feed the world. Hey, we got a bunch of cows that take, you know, 3.5, 4 years to grow. If we take them off their mom at 9 months and we put them in a feedlot, then we can kill them at 18, 20 months instead of waiting for 40 months, and we can feed a bunch of people really fast. So that's feedlots were invented, right? And they take all the cows after they've been on pasture their whole lives, up to, you know, 9 months. They take them over there for another 8, 9 months. They
and
take
eat nothing
them,
but feed.
They eat nothing but just laying that feed on them, you know.
Fatten them up.
Fatten them up. And they go from 450, 500 pounds to 2,000 pounds in 8 months. So that's kind of a weird deal.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of hormones, a lot of steroids, a lot of antibiotics. And that's what people have a problem with. Everybody I've talked to, I'd say 95% of the people that shop with us that know the way we farm are cool with us.
You know? Why wouldn't you be?
Well, because you still have that one idiot that's like, no, I don't ever want, you know, I want my cow to only eat green blades.
Have these cows ever seen an automobile? But I don't want them.
Yes. And well, the other thing that is hilarious, if you look at definitions, right, corn and wheat and soy and not soy, but corn and wheat and stuff like all that stuff that grows is all grasses until it's cut. Once it's cut and processed, now it becomes a grain. And that's how these fake labels exist, because the people still grow all the grain product, but before it's put in the barrel, they feed it to the cows. They chop it up in a different type of chopper. So it gets fed green, which is actually worse for the cow because it gives the cow gas. And it's technically still a grass,
right?
Because it hasn't been rolled and dried and put into a barrel, so it's not a grain yet. So it's grass fed, but it's still the same cow on the feedlot next to the other cow.
Wow,
it's so stupid.
What a racket!
How about just raise them right like we do at Morris Family Farms?
I mean,
cut them, sell them, and be done with it. You know, keep it simple.
I don't know how you could become hooked on Australian beef, but
call me bastard.
Really? I mean, why wouldn't you want to buy American?
His name's Rick. Lives in Lake Mary. He's a white guy with a scar on his neck. I mean, if he's listening.
Rick, come on, man. Eat some American beef. Support American farmers. I mean, do people always ask your staff how are these cows raised?
Oh, yeah, they do. They give them a hard time. And I have to remind them, hey, they're 14, 15-year-old kids that are part of the family. If they don't give you the exact answer you're looking for, maybe ask to speak to me or speak to Amy, and we can help clear it up, because they're doing the best they can. They're not trying to lie to you. You know, listen, my son Julian and Victor and Jesse go to the farm every day after school. And they got goats. We got 14 goats. We got 8 lambs. We've got 9 cows out there. And that's their job. That pasture is theirs. I go out there once a week now.
Really?
They go out there with Mr. Kevin every day after school when they do the hay and the water and, you know, make sure the vitamins are out. And they raise them cows. So do you know how disrespectful it is when you come in and you got a 15-year-old boy, 3 of them, and pouring their heart into some animals?
Right.
And you're going to give them the what for?
Because
they didn't answer it the right way. You know what I mean? Those people aren't welcome anymore.
I hate food snobs like that.
I do, too. They're not welcome anymore. I turn people away now. Yeah. We're so valuable.
You ought to have a sign, a really nice sign done that's the story of the farm. Here's how we – and spell it out. Our cows do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how we raise our cows. And if you don't like it, go to Whole Foods and get some $50 a pound Australian beef. You snob.
There you go. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but have your cows ever heard any rainforest pan flute music?
Come on.
I bet your cows have never been lulled to sleep by a didgeridoo.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a
my cows are bilingual, though.
Oh, that's good. It's a musical instrument used in the
what? A dilly-doo?
A didgeridoo.
Yeah, it's the one that goes.
I don't want to be on the show anymore.
Now, I don't know if I want any cows that speak any Spanish, though.
Yeah, you got dang Mexican cows.
Oh, I didn't say what language. Why are y'all being so racist? Well, maybe they speak Italian.
You should also get a little funny and have some like a speaker and say, if you'd like to hear some of the music our cows listen to, press the button. And then have some Bach, you know, some Beethoven in the background. Our cows are lulled to sleep constantly by classical music from the greats.
Well, what if I just bring a cow up there? There's sometimes somebody has a question. I'm like, Julian, bring up a cow.
Bring him in the back. There you go.
Just talk to the cow.
Check him out.
Ask the cow. Ask the cow.
All right, we got to take a break. When we return, America's worst mayor. This is a nightmare situation for this little Illinois town that Tiffany Hainard is her name. Hainard is her name. This is the town that hired Lori Lightfoot, the former Chicago mayor, to investigate this mayor.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll tell you how she handled that. Let me return. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show. America's worst mayor. She first dubbed herself the super mayor. A young lady by the name of Tiffany Henyard. She was elected the mayor of Dalton, a little town not far from Chicago. You know, they had money in the bank in Dalton. They're in the black, and she became mayor, and they're in the red. They can't pay some bills. She's taken a bunch of trips, had her, some plastic surgery, all these, to the point where the city hired Lori Lightfoot to investigate, and federal investigators have now served subpoenas on everybody in City Hall. So when it, you know, as mayor, even though the city council votes to have her investigated,
right,
they have a meeting about it. She flies into a rage, says, "How dare you investigate me?" and vetoes the bill.
The investigation.
Yep.
Nice. Nice. And then in comes Lori Lightfoot.
Well, she was there going to pay her $400 an hour.
God.
She rejected the move, telling the city council, "You know, it's veto power. So how dare you think you can come into someone's town and do work? There is a right way to do things, and this is just not right. Lightfoot will not be paid for her services."
Ah.
20,000 people in this city.
That's not very big, is it?
No, it's not very big at all.
For all the money that's missing and being spent.
She's facing allegations of corruption, fraud, financial mismanagement. A lawsuit filed a month ago claimed that she worked to cover up a sexual assault on a trip to Vegas. Lightfoot was on one of those trips, apparently. Hanyard, that trip took $100 to $2,000.
Wow. It's always weird to me when a woman in power gets a sexual assault charge on somebody.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd like to be in the room to watch that.
One moment of the meeting, as she announced her veto, said, "You're not accountable. You don't respect people who don't agree with you. You're not qualified for this seat. We are watching the fall of this administration. We've got to get you out." Man, she's going to fight to stay in that job, man.
Well, why not? That's a gravy train.
The federal subpoena served on City Hall, on the city last month, looking for information about trips by city officials and expenses and reimbursements. Alongside her is Administrator Keith Freeman, also a subject to the subpoenas and the investigation, potential reimbursements involving his businesses. That's just like Fannie Willis.
Yep. When are they going to understand that there's a pattern of this with the people they put in office, the money that disappears, the corruption that follows, and who pays? The people. The people pay.
Yeah, and she's going to go down swinging. She said these people, these constituents have been manipulated with fake news, putting our community in a bad light.
Bounce of checks everywhere, though.
That's fake news.
Fake news and fake checks.
I guess, you know, there's a, people say, like to run for an office that sounds like a good idea. And I don't know that anyone at this level, that's the first office she's ever held, I'm sure she wasn't thinking, "Man, if I just get be mayor, I could rape this town, take every." I think she, you want to be mayor. Then they, you know, your first week, you realize the power you've got.
Yeah, you can.
You have the power of the
hire
pen.
A person that does all your makeup and follows you around all the time. And
right.
You can take them on trips, and you can always have your hair and makeup person ready.
And you
got to
go visit your city, your sister city.
Yeah,
no matter where it is on
and
the globe.
And you got to eat.
Yeah.
And when they know you're the mayor, because you got your mayor's tag on, you know, "Mr. Mayor, Miss Mayor, this is on us today."
But then it gets to a point where they're like, "Hey, by the way, if you aren't mayor, they're probably going to throw you in jail for all this fraud that you've done." So now she's trying to keep herself in there tooth and nail.
Well, but is she going to be held accountable for all the money she spent, you know, as mayor, not on mayor stuff?
Oh, yeah. I believe this little town, I got to hold her. Yeah, this is.
She'd be tried, right? It's a criminal offense?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like an episode.
Would be the first Chicago politician to go to jail.
Sounds like it'd be a morning radio show episode.
Yeah, the mayor of the and the township supervisor, or one of the same, appear to be the primary focus of the investigation. Overall, as an FBI agent said, it's a very broad scope. It tells me the investigation is expanding, not just focusing on the city of Dalton, Wow. Once a Pete is reported to focus entirely on Ms. Hanyard, including a restaurant and a property management company she owns, as well as her political fund and a charity bearing her name.
Oh, wow.
So she owns a restaurant and a property management company.
Nice.
I'm sure they've been paid.
Oh, yeah.
Hired, you know.
Oh, for every job in town.
Well, we have to have catering events for the restaurant. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we got
to
eat.
I gave everybody a good deal because I own the place.
Yeah, we got to eat. Yeah. Yeah, we got to eat. And I wonder who's paying for all that chicken going in the back door in the semi. Be like, divert that semi from the county jail and take it over to the restaurant.
She's got to get arrested. Because, I mean, if you got a federal investigation going and they've got subpoenas flowing out there, they're coming to get you. Who's on the horn over there?
Todd, Daytona.
Oh, Sergeant Todd, real quick. Todd, what's going on, brother? Thanks for holding.
Hey, thanks, guys. Johnson, close. I just wanted to wish you a belated happy birthday from my heart and my mouth. The world is a better place with you and your family in it. And may the good Lord bless you and your family for the days to come.
Thank you, Todd.
All I wanted to say.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate
you,
buddy.
Lord Torque, man.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. I really appreciate you, buddy. He's a good dude, man.
But once you get a taste of things and you realize you could cut the checks, you can tell other people, pay this, hire this guy, do that, do this. I think, you know, if your heart is not in the right place for a political job like that, it's very easy to get swept up into the power, the ability to be, you know, it almost turns 60% of them politicians into thieves.
But do you think they were already somewhat thieves and bad people? I don't know the exact quote about money. Like, money doesn't change you. It just amplifies who you are. So if you were already a bad person and now you got all this money, now you just have the ability to act out all your bad things? Or do you think maybe she was a good, upstanding? My daddy, I tell you this for a fact, my daddy. If he got mayor of any city and he had $1 billion at his disposal, he wouldn't spend a dollar of it that wasn't supposed to be spent. I can take it to the bank on that. You know what I mean? But now my brother-in-law, he dropped that place blind. You know? And I know that for a fact. So do you think these people have that in their background, that they're not that great of people?
Yes.
And now they have the opportunity to just do anything they wanted to do their whole lives, and now they think they can get away with it because they got the power to cover it up?
Yeah, I think so, because when this woman's defiant about it. She's like, how dare you? I veto this. This is not happening. No, y'all are been tricked by fake news and march around like, you know, like you're not in trouble and damn the torpedoes with all the federal subpoenas that come in. Yeah. It's just so defiant and so...
I will not allow you to arrest me today.
Yes. Yeah, how dare you try to arrest me. I'll have you arrested for that. Yeah, you can bet your ass she's done some crooked stuff and she'll probably go to jail for it. I would hope.
Good for her. I hope she does go to jail. Have a little canteen money saved up, you know?
Schools in Los Angeles have decided it may be a good idea to bring cops back onto school campuses.
Really? You don't say.
Well, we had to defund those bad police and remove them from the hallways because, you know, A, it was really expensive, and B, just a cop made so many criminal students feel uncomfortable. So now they're coming back to the LA Unified School District and saying, you know, we've seen an unbelievably steep escalating crime, drug, and violence scene in our public schools to the point where parents are, you know, going back to the school saying, hey, you know,
bring back the cops.
Yeah, we may have jumped the gun on the whole cop deal. They're literally showing up at schools with demonstrations that carry signs that say bring back school police.
Oh, wow. Man, good for them. You know, I don't want any kid to be beat up unintentionally, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's good that the parents have to feel that. Because, like, we have two deputy sheriffs at Lake Mary High School. There's one at Greenwood Middle. There's a floater that goes between. And anytime that anything happens, like, Seminole County don't play. We have deputy sheriffs at every school.
Serious stuff going down at Seminole County schools lately.
Yes. Even with them there, there's stuff going on.
Right.
But that also, the administrations are starting to allow things. Well, I'll say the school board stuff for the school board people. But that's one of the reasons we're getting behind Carl Tipton and Kelly, because they both want to bring change back to the administration where it's like, hey, the principals have the right to say these kids can't come to school no more, and the school board's going to back them up so the sheriff has the power he's supposed to have. You know, these kids walking around with ankle bracelet monitors on are ridiculous.
ankle bracelets on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing they, in their whole...
Well, they're on probation from, and they...
Yeah, those two boys that were from Seminole, both of them were on, out on probation. One of them was on assault on a Leo, and he's 19 years old, still sitting in school.
Wow.
But the sheriff can't remove him from school if the school board says this kid can be here. So that's one thing Carl and Kelly are running on, bring back schools like Journeys and the alternative schools, where you got a kid who's 19 years old.
He's been arrested for assault. He can't go back to school.
Right. He needs to be over at Journeys, or he needs to be at another school where it's
or more, learning remotely.
Yes, where he's being reinstitutionalized to be a human being, not walking around with the kid trying to go to Yale.
In the 4 years since the cops have been kept off these campuses there, everyone's, you know, there's 600,000 students have just been left to their own devices. And that's proved to be the recipe for a ton more fights. They can't control the drug use, vaping, you know, and they've got 1,000 schools in the system. Fights, incidents of fighting more than doubled. The from 2,270 a year to 4,800 so far this year. Illegal substances went from 854 incidents to over 1,500. You know, all the numbers are there. I mean, time and time, I don't care where you pulled cops from, the S hit the fan
quick
in every situation, in every index, whether it's a public school or a city or an area of town. It seems like a no-brainer.
Really? Like, there's something to be said about a show of force. Just a police officer being there makes a difference. What are them police dogs they tried that one time? Do they not work?
Yeah, I guess not. Weapons being in schools spiked more than 200 incidents.
Wow.
Reported incidents deemed a threat to school staffers and the student body, meanwhile, rose by more than 1,300 from 1994 to 3,302.
That's a lot. But what were they expecting? When the kids,
I don't know.
When the kids know we have free run of this place now, there's no authority, there's no chance of getting arrested.
There's no cop here.
The teachers can't touch us or do anything to us.
Well, we'll beat their ass if they do.
Yeah, and there ain't nobody here to arrest us. We're going to do what we want. We run this place.
They say, listen to this. Data shows the lack of police has played at least some part in the rise in crime and incidents.
Yeah. A little bit. Just a little bit. My goodness!
In every attempt to defund, it's caused.
It's going to cost them more in the end. You know, it'd have been just cheaper to just to keep them on and maintain the course. But no,
I guess Kevin Spacey's back in trouble. The actor.
What'd he do?
He's got a documentary coming out this week. Well, it's against him.
Yeah, it's not a positive one. It's called It's called Spacey Unmasked.
He's a creepy guy, right?
Where is it coming out? I got to watch this. Maybe Mike knows. He's only referred to by his first name, Scott.
What?
Oh, this is a guy that makes a claim about him. He says at a cinema in 1998, he was watching the Saving Private Ryan. And he said that while he, in the bloody scene where they're storming the beaches at Normandy, Kevin Spacey retrieved his penis from his pants and began to masturbate to the bloody violence.
He retrieved it. Like he dropped it.
He pulled out his junk and began to feverishly masturbate.
Yes, nothing is sexier than the violent storming of Normandy.
That is so bizarre.
That's Tom Hanks was in that, wasn't he?
Several men in the film industry brought fresh allegations to light. This guy Scott was said he initially was over the moon when he met Kevin Spacey at a gig at the Viper Room in West Hollywood. At the time, he was an aspiring actor working in post-production. Throughout this thing, this actor referred to only by his first name, claimed that an unnerving incident happened in 1998. He said, I'm not going to lie, this is for real, that he pulled it out and flogged it. In the most violent, bloody part of the entire...
It's nasty.
The man cranked it to that scene where the one guy's holding
his arm up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
That's nasty.
I guess the documentary is going to be on the BBC. I guess you can buy it here in the U.S., but...
I have a BBC on my Yahoo TV.
Then you should be good.
Can I come over and watch it? Because I don't have BBC.
No?
I don't have Yahoo TV either.
I mean, the sad thing is that he is an unbelievable actor.
Yeah, he is great. Everything he plays.
He is a creepy dude outside of it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why I believe he's had five people accuse him and all five of them are dead.
Oh. Says, all of a sudden, I saw some activity happening next to me. And I kind of glance over at Kevin and he's pleasuring himself, you know. Some of the most horrific war footage ever created. And it's like, there's no way this is happening. This guy is rubbing one out during the invasion of Normandy. And then he said he reached over to grab Scott's hand and tries to get him to help him out. He was like, hell no.
Like, I got a two-hander.
Man. I don't know. Do you believe these people...
That's hard. That's a hard one to believe.
I mean, that's a hard one to make up.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make up a story of Kevin Spacey, it's going to be, I think there's other allegations in that same article of, you know, a guy at a bar, he reached over and grabbed the guy at the bar, or he was at a party. And those are, okay, yeah, those are ones that are believable, but also could be made up. The cranking it to Saving Private Ryan is not something that you would just even think. Like, that's not something you make up.
No, it's the least... arousing thing ever. I mean, there's nothing arousing about that film at all, any part of it.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're like, man, this there's a very homoerotic scene in here and Kevin just couldn't hold himself, and but the storming of Normandy is just not the time to be pounding your pud.
And then and ask for a help handy. Hey, can you help me out with this? That's gross.
Yeah, I guess some people are turned on by violence. You know, it's like a snuff film almost. Right?
Yeah.
Are we missing some breaking news?
Judge Eileen Cannon has indefinitely postponed the documents case in Florida currently. So
indefinitely postponed the case. Why? Because of the news about the falsified documents?
Yeah. In order Tuesday, Cannon has canceled the May trial date and has not set a new date. So it is indefinitely postponed.
Wow. I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because... this.
Yeah, so that famous photograph, what we have now learned, and the government has had, Jack Smith and his prosecutors have had to admit, that that was staged, and those top secret class...
Remember the photograph of the documents just feathered out on the ground, yes. Willy-nilly. Trump did it to make it seem... I mean, that whole thing was staged, the whole photograph. Listen to this.
Classified sheets that all the public saw and said, oh my God, look at those top secret documents. Those were placed there by the FBI. What Jack Smith admitted in court this week was that, in his word, they mishandled the classified documents and misrepresented those to the court. Maria, that's a kind way of saying we tampered with the evidence, then we lied to the court about it. And they got caught when President Trump's lawyers and the other co-defendants raised this issue and said, look, the documents here don't match up. The documents that were presented to us don't match the digitally scanned records of when they were taken from Mar-a-Lago. And Jack Smith, not only did they tamper with that and lie to the court about it, but he's now admitted to the court that he doesn't know how that happened. He's only offered a number of possible explanations for how that could have happened. So he's absolutely blown the chain of custody. And again, he has a prosecutor, lead prosecutor in this case, Jay Bratt, who met with White House counsel and a representative of the National Archives in several times in the weeks before Jack Smith was even appointed. This reeks of crossfire hurricane when the Obama Biden administration fabricated evidence before the FISA court, lied to the court about it to pursue Donald Trump, and now we're seeing it again in this classified documents case. The judge could dismiss this case at any point in time, Maria. I think the only reason that she hasn't is she wants to document this publicly. Wow. Yeah, so that
she wants to document it publicly.
Good for her, right?
Yeah, from my understanding with some of the stuff I read, they sent a guy back to the office to go pick up classified document folders so they could put documents into the classified document folder to spread them out.
Yeah. That's a complete plant of evidence. All of this famous so he's photo off, right here.
Yeah.
Is all well, he's all he should be off. And I think I like the Judge Cannon here. She's gonna let it all play out so that everybody knows how corrupt and how guilty these people are of lawfare and literally weaponizing the DOJ. This is the best example of weaponizing the DOJ. I think, well, Crossfire Hurricane was a better one, but this is the same. I mean, that's that whole picture that you know of
all the, fake.
The patterned carpet and all the stuff. They got the little Exhibit 2A card next to it. Those were all planted. None of that, none of this top secret stuff existed. It was all manufactured.
Wow. Man. And you know what? There's still going to be some idiot out there.
Oh, yeah. They won't believe it.
They won't believe it.
Yeah,
that's why those all those folders looked brand new is because we found out they were all brand new folders.
They went out and bought them. Hey, run down to Office Depot and pick some up some folders.
No, they went back to headquarters and got a bunch of these secret, you know, the classified. They say secret, SCI, whatever, top secret, SCI, all of it manufactured. Jesus, Palomino, what they won't do
to put it to stop him
to stop Donald Trump is just
that's how scared they are.
Oh, it's the president speaking? He's making a public... Oh.
What?
He's talking about anti-Semitism, but it looks like he's crying. His eyes are closed and his face
came out and said, anti-Semitism, bad. October 7th, stop talking about how it's not October, not very bad. That's basically what he said.
Anti-Semitism is bad. It's real bad. You got quit right now. It's despicable.
I haven't seen the audio of it yet.
What's bringing him out now to talk, now that they're fighting cops?
Well, all the stuff last night, New York City, Chicago, they try to disrupt the Met Gala, which is just sacrilegious. How dare you? And they built, I heard they fenced off a certain like 20 square foot area with fences.
Really?
To keep these idiots from, and manned them. To keep them from getting near the Met Gala. You can't have the Met Gala spoiled by a bunch of anti-Israel protesters. Ah. People are there on the red carpet. They're going to be seen, and, you know.
Yeah.
Man. Well.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of a war movie with a hot scene that I could pleasure myself to. I can't think of one.
You could pleasure yourself to some of my sales at the shop maybe later.
Some of your sales?
If you can't find a war movie.
I can just bust out a
Barbarella. Think of a sexy war movie.
Is there one?
I'm sure there's got to be a couple.
There's some scenes, maybe.
Yeah, we've made a ton of World War II movies. There's got to be a couple where, you know, the soldier gets himself like a French resistance fighter.
During MASH.
Dirty Rotten, what is it, something Bastards?
Dirty Rotten
Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards. Yeah. There's some, I don't know if there's any sex scenes.
There's feet scenes and she gets choked because it's a Tarantino film, so he likes both of those things.
It's true.
Feet and choking?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, as I still, like a guy like Kevin Spacey, I like his work so much, you know.
You're willing to forgive it?
There are some points where you can separate the artist and the actual person, human being. It's the same as people have had. You have to make that decision sometimes. Can you enjoy Michael Jackson's music and also the fact that Michael Jackson touched little kids? You can split the two of them. They're two separate things.
Right.
Kevin Spacey, you can enjoy Kevin Spacey, the character actor, and also Kevin Spacey, who's the monster that cranked it to the same Private Ryan.
But do you think that's why he's... No, but
they're two different things.
But maybe that's why he's such a good actor.
Well, there is a correlation.
Some of the movies he played.
There is a correlation between, you know, that type of creative genius and some kink, you know, some weird stuff.
That movie he played, well, there was like a river, and he got kidnapped in a car as a little kid. And I can't remember the name of the movie. I thought it was maybe the river or the town.
Are we talking about the right same guy?
Yeah, Kevin Spacey played in the movie. They killed the neighbor. They thought the neighbor was the one that molested the little boy.
I don't remember.
I'll look it up later. But yeah, he played a couple psycho crazy movies. He did a great job at them.
When we return, we'll get to your remarks. Man finally figured out why his penis was severely swollen after 17 years of the problem.
Way too long.
Way too long and way too disgusting. And a man, to add insult to injury, he crashed his car and then a bear drug his body out of the car and mauled him in the woods. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burr Show.
And radio.
Jonathan Morris is here. He got us some specials this week that are going on leading up to Mother's Day, right? What do you got?
Yes, May is the national month of meat. So in honor of that, every day we have a sale all week. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you spend $100, we're going to give you a free brisket dinner with two sides and a dinner roll. If you spend $200, we're going to feed a family up to four.
Wow.
Yes. We want to give back. So let us lighten your grocery store budget by giving you a free dinner. You come in every day, spend $100, get a dinner for one, $200, dinner for four. And then for Mother's Day, we have specials going out all day. You can start this tomorrow. It runs all the way through Saturday. You can get two hand cut of our fillets, two baked potatoes, two big servings of green beans for $49.99. So it's a two fillet dinner for $49.99.
Not bad.
Or you can do New York strips. The ladies like the fancy, sexy, long New York strips with baked potatoes and green beans for $39.99.
All right.
Can't beat my meat, man. I ain't Kevin Spacey.
What about, like, for the big family, like two tomahawks, two baked potatoes, six baked potatoes and green beans?
You want to do that? No, you want to go for that? We'll do that one for $209.
$209.
You get two tomahawks, six baked potatoes, and six servings of green beans.
I'm only talking about, okay. A tomahawk will feed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll eat one by myself, but.
Listen, you bring cash in.
Cash money?
Cash, no credit cards. For the tomahawk deal. Cash money, $209. Get two tomahawks, six baked potatoes. Amy, write this down. two tomahawks, six baked potatoes, and six servings of green beans, $209 in cash only. No credit cards for that one. You can pay a credit card for the filet or the strip.
Sounds like a sort of drug deal going on.
It is. Oh,
hey, that's cash only, man.
Yeah, it is. Right, look, check this out.
You also got to knock on the back door, too.
Hey, it talks, man. It's cash talks.
Yes.
My brother went to go deal with an MRI once, and they're like, it's $3,000. He goes, what do you, he goes, how about cash? He goes, let me go talk to him. They come back, and she says, it's, it would be $1,800. He goes, and he pulls out a wad of cash. He goes, no, ask them about cash. And they came back, $1,100.
That's awesome. That's, oh, speaking of that, the first 10 people in the store every day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, $200 in cash, they get a free prime rib. Thick. Nice. So if you come in Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Spend $200 or
the
more.
The first 10 people.
Only the first 10.
Only the first 10. With $200
too good a deal to extend the whole day.
Yeah. First 10 people with $200 in cash, you get a free inch and a half thick hand cut prime rib.
Oh, yeah. Feed a family of four.
Nice, ain't it?
Or one big hungry dude.
One big hungry dude. You can't beat it.
No.
And I'll be in Fort Walton on the 25th. I haven't worked out the location yet, but. All right, that's what I got, man. That's it.
That's it?
Come on down to Morganic Meats.
Spend $100, get a free dinner. Spend $200, get dinner for four. Mother's Day special, either filet or strips or tomahawks, baked potatoes, green beans, either $49, $39, or $209, depending on the steak you choose.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I got to hit the button because I feel like we've not helped Jonathan out at all today about this.
Oh, my walk-in.
And bringing the heat, your friendly local farmer, Jonathan Morris.
Isn't that supposed to happen? Isn't that supposed to happen when I come through the door?
It's new.
All right, still working it out.
We're working it out.
I appreciate it. Let me just say, I appreciate
your problem is you start talking the moment we turn the mics on, so we don't have even a chance to get to that point.
Give us a stretch your legs a little. Give us a little bit of time to play with in there.
You know, my bad. How about I give you 8 seconds?
Should we get to these remarks?
Yes.
Please.
From the Florida Man Radio and powered by Morganic Meats, it's time for your remarks. Just don't be stupid.
I feel like the whole show's about me right now.
A great way to listen to archives of this program, commercial-free, the podcast on the app. Text the show, call the shows. The Don Miller Show is in archives there as well. And there's a little button at the bottom that looks like a microphone. Here we go.
I went down to Macon to see relatives this last weekend, Macon, Georgia. And the cicadas, it's otherworldly. It is it's like nothing you have ever experienced.
Really?
It is deafening. It's like aliens are all around you. It's really, 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 really weird.
South Georgia ain't no joke.
Is it that loud? I mean, I remember them. Well, I've never been through the double horde emergence, but I enjoyed them. It meant summertime to me as a kid and growing up in Dallas. And,
well, just throw together your tempura batter and get you some.
Honey, turn on the fryer.
Gentlemen and Heather,
Brady,
Monticello.
I'm giving you a taste of what the cicadas sound like in my neighborhood, which is very woodsy. I was also told by our diver that they make some of the best fishing bait you can find, but do not stick the hook through the body. Instead, rubber band the cicada to the hook for maximum juiciness and maximum catching.
Rubber banded.
Yeah,
so it still moves around.
Well, you don't want to crack the shell and let all the juices out of it. Because then you're letting them all out of the exoskeleton.
Ah.
Wow.
Hmm.
You want
rubber
to be,
band?
Yeah, huh? You want that.
It, is it live when you throw it in so it moves around underwater?
Yeah, probably.
What's drowning to death?
Hey, guys. I know this is number three for me today, but I just wanted to add my 2 cents worth to the Mr. Grumpy Pants who called in earlier talking about Sparky and said that you had said that no one needs to announce who they are when they call in. That wasn't what you said. You had just said that Sparky doesn't need to individually greet all three of you before he gets into his remark. So, you know, some people, be-do-be-do.
It was because we all know Sparky's voice instantly. He's got a very distinct, distinctive, we recognize it, and he's a sweet guy. I love the guy. We've met him. And it was a greeting, and then another to me, to you, to Heather, and then an introduction of himself. You 6 seconds off of your.
If
third.
You wanted to, you just go Sparky 352, and then go on, just like Star Trek guy does.
Right.
Yeah. You do it because you care. You're trying to give him more time.
Hey y'all, Fort Walton Beach here, Florida, Lando, lab grown meat. How's it gonna work? You know, meat is muscle. You have to exercise a muscle and get fat and blood vessels develop in it and. Stress it. That helps the flavor and everything. If it's growing in a jar, how are you going to make it a muscle? It's just going to be a blob of jello.
Right next to the room where all the blobs are is a gym. And you could find the blobs running on a treadmill or pumping some iron.
It's honestly just old Susan Summers.
Bring back the Thighmaster.
Thighmaster. Just two of those things. Doing a Thighmaster, every one of them.
Hey, Craig in Niceville. Lots of things are safe for human consumption, just like my semen, but I can't find anybody to gobble that up.
Come on.
Sorry for the second one, but speaking of the fake meat, my son used to work weddings, and he was at the prime rib carving table, and this man came up and asked how the beef was raised. And my son said, sir, I didn't know this cow personally.
Anyways, nice. Classy.
Who goes up to a wedding and a carving station and asks the guy carving and how the beef was raised?
Ma'am, does your son need a job?
Yeah,
I don't think I want to eat those cicadas. I looked them up. They kind of look like big flies with butterfly wings or something, but certainly not sautéed. That would just be gross. Fried? Maybe those wings crisp up like catfish tails, fish tails. I like fried fish tails. I could maybe do that, but I'll tell you what, they're not. They are not crawfish. You cannot suck the head off of that thing. There's nothing there.
They say that in that body is sweet meat like a lobster.
In a cicada.
Yep. Mm. I suggest you might want to, test the theory.
Get in on that.
Morris Family Farms. Our cows are guaranteed to be the best you've ever had or they'll die trying.
I like it.
Hi, guys. It's Liberal Larry. And oh, my gosh, Jonathan, don't be such a silly goose. Everybody knows you're a black man. And that means you have to have a BBC. Be-do-be-do.
What?
Hey, Nazar guy. Spacey was just jealous of Tom Hanks. And he's just waiting for the next glove to drop on the road, pointing the way to go to, Devil Land. Whatever you want to call it. Beedoo beedoo. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up.
Okay, I'm going to have to look it up. I have no clue what you're talking about.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jonathan. Happy birthday. Greetings from the desert, my man. It's your boy, Matt. I wish I was in Laguna. But here I am out here in the heat. Have a great belated birthday, my man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Matt.
Man, it's getting hot here.
98 on Thursday.
Oh, I'm going to be in the swimming pool. I'm going to the swimming pool tonight.
I got to go.
Tell you what, I can separate the Donald Trump that run the country like a badass and the Donald Trump that possibly banged a porn star raw. Who gives a damn about that?
Well played.
In that Kevin Spacey vein, if I'm not able to separate the things I like versus the things I don't like, I'm done with music because virtually every musician that I would normally listen to, that I do normally listen to, is so far left. They're out of their minds. It doesn't seem to matter what. I listen to a lot of, you know, a pretty good variety, and most of those musicians out there, if I ditched them because of their politics, I'd have nothing to listen to but gospel.
That's true.
In that Kevin Spacey.
We just heard that one.
I think Jonathan's talking about, I don't remember, it is something about the river, but it had Kevin Bacon and the guy played in Shawshank and Sean Penn in it. I think that's the one he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's Mystic River.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you know what Kevin Spacey looks like?
My bad. I mixed him up with Kevin Bacon.
Let me get a picture of him.
I mixed them two guys up. Because Kevin Bacon's the one that plays all the crazy people.
Yes, Kevin Bacon is the 3 degrees of Kevin.
Six degrees.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've confused the two people.
Kevin Spacey is House of Cards.
Muffins here. Hot war movie scene.
Usual Suspects.
Let me get a picture of him.
Yeah, I may not know who the Kevin Spacey is then.
Seven.
Oh, yeah. I know the guy from Seven.
The killer from Seven.
Yes. Oh, that's him?
This guy right here.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, I've seen him.
You seen him?
Yeah, I watched Seven.
You've seen them?
Seen the movie. The bad
Muffins here.
The bad English.
Hot war movie scene. Enemy at the Gates. Jude Law, Rachel Weisz. Get it on. They got to stay all quiet. It's kind of hot, but it's not really gallon gas. I don't know if Kevin Spacey'd be into it.
American Beauty, I believe, is the movie that Jonathan Morris is talking about with Kevin Spacey. Thank you. Love the show.
That's good.
I can tell you right now, Jonathan has never seen American Beauty before.
I have not, but Mystic River is a must watch. I mean,
but Kevin Spacey's not.
Kevin Bacon's there. It's a great movie.
Abra Shannon, I think we're reading this Kevin Spacey thing all wrong. Abra, fact, he's a brilliant actor. Fact, he understands the film game inside and out. But what most people don't know, Abra, he's an incredible World War II buff. And as he watched this cinematic genius unfolding in front of him, Abra, he probably thought to himself, well, I'm going to get my soldier out, and we're going to salute this film. Every God bless. Cannons fire.
Nice.
They ain't lying about them tomahawks, man. I fed seven people off of two tomahawks about 2.5 weeks ago. $209? Darn well better believe I'm going to come down and get me some cash only. Love
it. Come get them. I'll give you six baked potatoes.
Way I like to typically do it, it's like I took a bunch up to my dad's and when the family was all there. And I cooked them all. Like I could only do three at a time on his little cast grill. And then I just, you know, carve them off the bone and slice them up real nice. And do a nice display on a platter, and people come by and
eat them up.
Oh, so good.
Two tomahawks, six baked potatoes, and some beans for $200. Are you crazy?
$209, sir.
$209.
$209 cash. I'll bring you car. Cash.
All right, Mr. Morris. Any updates on your brand new website for, cicada recipes?
How is the...
You got any of that? You going to fillet one?
How's the website?
Roast one? What? You got anything?
Stop talking. Shut up, sir.
Stop talking. My God.
All right, Mr.
Can you hit the button?
You don't have to... Yeah.
He's out of 30 seconds been up.
The website's doing well, right?
Website's going. We sold like 11 boxes. But I found out that the website's just in splash test mode. It's just out there. So the actual site is still being built. It launches Father's Day weekend, you know, like where you can go. The way John explained it to me is we're at like 15 clicks, and we're getting it down to 7 clicks. I don't know what that means, but I know we're working on it, you know, and the homepage and the about us and the story and all that stuff, you know.
It's cool that you can
use it
now.
I just got the text from online store is just in testing mode only. Oh, you should be talking about this.
I do.
We're testing only Florida Man Radio, so nobody else is on it. You have to use the Florida Man Radio code. The website is launching Father's Day weekend. So right now, let's
have morganicmeats.com.
It's in test phase for the Florida Man Radio family only.
All right.
That's why we're only talking about
it. My preacher called me when I was about 16, asked me to ride over to the house. It just sounded like something was wrong, so I hustled over there, and there's this loud racket coming out of his woods. And we walked down in there. It sounded like equipment, like an industrial factory running down in there. And it was cicadas. It was the wildest. It was crazy.
Hey, this is Paul from East Cobb, Georgia. We don't have any cicadas. Not a damn thing. Just crap loads of birds screaming in the morning.
How could you have a cicada apocalypse in Macon and in Cobb, what, an hour north or so, not have one?
They haven't moved there yet.
They ain't moved. They migrated, and the birds are eating them.
Oh, maybe that's what they're so happy.
That's what the birds are screaming.
Kristi Noem looks like an actress or wannabe actress, because all politicians are basically actresses or actors. And on that Boy Scout thing, changing the name to just Scouts or whatever, why, that's not a surprise either. The same people pushing this are the ones that are guys getting their cojones chopped off. Next thing you know, they'll be changing the name of Scout to something else so we don't appropriate somebody's culture.
Yeah, Boy Scouts changed their name to Scouting America. No more boys are not in it anymore. It's now called Scouting America.
Huh. Lab-grown meat, they're going to be powered by giant TINS units. We're just going to electrocute them for 2 months, and then we're going to sell it as, hey, real meat.
Oh.
Man, bugs and fake meat. That ain't something that's made for human consumption, man. Y'all need to get right, get you some beef, some steaks, some beans, tater salad, you know, beetle.
Tater salad.
Some tater. Get them taters.
Tater salad.
Got 2 tomahawks and 6 taters. I love it. I just got a text explaining what BBC meant that guy told me I had.
It's the British Broadcasting Channel.
Is that what I have?
Yeah.
I am too.
Who did that text come from, Heather?
No. My wife.
Does she know?
I guarantee it.
My wife.
You know, I don't know the statistics, but 45 years ago, everyone had a garden in their backyard, and I feel like the cancer rate has climbed dramatically in a correlation with food that you can't pronounce. So why they think this lab-grown meat is a good idea. Mother Nature did it best. No reason trying to outdo it.
You are correct, sir. He's correct. He's right.
No cicadas 45 minutes north of Macon. Thanks, Billy. Aaron said cicadas thick in Madison, Georgia. None in Athens, 27 miles north.
Also, Heather says that BBC stands for Bitches Be Crazy.
Oh. I'm all about that.
She said, suck the head.
Wow.
10th grade called.
Yeah. The gym class started. You better get down there playing dodgeball today.
Also, with the cicadas, when you rubber band them to the hook, they try to still fly and vibrate. If you've ever seen a cat catch one and hold it in its mouth, they vibrate, and I'm sure that would help attract the fish. Also, what does bidu-bidu mean? I've started listening about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Love everybody on y'all's show.
Shortest story ever. I used to bring in a bicycle horn. The little ball, it's in my office. And we just use it to make fun of Tookie Tookie morning shows. We'd hit a bell and had a slide whistle. And I would hit ear. And I would usually use it to accentuate something stupid that someone said or I said. Boo, boo, boo. One day I didn't bring it in. The occasion arose for the sound. I reached for it. Didn't have it. My producer at the time, Jeff, went, beedoo, beedoo. And it just caught on.
And it stuck.
Yeah.
Like BBC. It works. If you work it.
Tongue to tongue. Got to be honest. I ate shrimp, I ate lobster, I ate crab, and they're all underwater insects. So if cicadas are that delicious, you know, I'd be willing to give it a try. Anything else outside of that? No, not so much. Beedoo-beedoo.
What if you deep fry them or you boil them like a carbonara?
I just found a recipe for tempura battered cicadas with a spicy sriracha aioli. It sounds delicious. Wow. So.
Do you boil them like a crawdad? Oh, go ahead.
Kate said, sick in the head. Been masturbating ever since.
Yeah. Jenna Jameson did a war movie, and yeah, it works.
G Jeff in Wichita.
You're right, Jonathan. 15 clicks, 7 clicks. We just podunk farmers. I'm with you, brother. I raise cattle, help my uncle raise cattle, too. Be-do.
So you understand my pain, buddy.
Hey, man. Cobb County is the is heaven. It's the suburbs. Just about everything around here could be fake. That's why we don't have the cicadas, is because we don't want them up here.
When I lived in Atlanta, I spent two years in downtown, literally downtown, with great view in a loft. Last year, I moved out with my, I had two dogs, and I needed some space, and I moved out to Cobb County. And it may be happened to you, but to me, it was nothing but an orchestra of leaf blowers that were seemed to be synchronized from about 7 a.m. and till 7 p.m. And it was non. I mean, Christmas morning, I have video. Christmas morning, 9 a.m. Outside my back on my deck outside.
Cleaning it up.
Oh.
No leaves on the ground, sir.
Hey, Shannon. Man, these cicadas, they're also aggressive, man. They'll fly right into you. I mean, if you ride in a mower, I mean, they'll come right at you and they'll land on you and scare the hell out of you.
You hear the grown man girl scream? Ah! Cicada land on your face.
I heard if you want to check the cicadas to see if they're okay to eat or if they've been contaminated by the ground, is just swab them with a COVID test, and that'll tell you.
I live right on the edge of Athens, and the cicadas are pretty loud in the morning and evening. You can hear them during the day, too. Went fishing yesterday, heard them all evening. Going fishing this evening, I'm going to hear them again. The fish are biting them like crazy.
Man, that's great bait.
Yeah. Free, too.
There's a guy again. Cows do not fart. They're ruminants. They burp. If they fart, they have a problem. Be-do-be-do, figure it the F out. Okay. Dang.
I love it when Nez guy gets a couple of drinks at him.
The
cows don't fart? There's I've seen a cow taking a dump, and it seems to me there's some gas in between the solids.
Yeah. So depending on what you call a fart, gas and air come out of the rear end of a cow. But yes, cows are ruminants. They have 7 stomachs.
Yep.
They regurgitate their food and re-swallow it, but they still have a digestive system just like other animals. Go back to
sleep. From Destin. Tropic Thunder's best war me ever made.
Shannon Burt, T-Bone from Atlanta. Don't you knock those leaf blowers, mother. Anyway, speedo-beedo, guys.
I mean, I use one myself, but I don't use it for 3 hours at a time. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a constant.
Well, you're not trying to clear
I lived on a big-ass lot, and all the neighbors around me, and then there was a creek at the bottom, and then on the other side was another big, you know, the same things, and everybody, I mean, it was leaf blower central.
Was it like workers or the community? Everybody had their own.
It was a mix of both. I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and scare some. I had to scream La Migra to a couple of illegals trying to blow leaves off of wet grass of my neighbor across the street. The leaves are all caked down with water. So they're. I walked out. I said, they said, okay, but I got to. They didn't know I didn't speak fluent Spanish. I didn't know what they said. I said, I'll tell you one thing. That doesn't stop now. I'm calling immigration right now. Yeah. I walked around, they packed up, poof, jumped in the truck and hauled ass.
They understood that.
Yeah. I found a recipe for Jill Biden for cicadas. That's cicada breakfast tacos.
Cicada breakfast tacos.
Oh, yeah, she loves those.
Jill, yeah, Dr. Jill loves, yeah. All right, we'll take our final break to come back and wrap it up for you. It's the Shannon Burt Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
And radio.
But if I had a swollen penis problem and a scrotum, I would go to the doctor right away.
Yes.
I'm a regular. I go to my doctor a lot. Just regular. It's just a good thing. This guy was 72. He had a severely swollen penis that caused the organ to appear partially erect at all times. Not a bad thing, totally. But he also had a very swollen scrotum, and his left leg was also scrotum. And he lived with this condition. Man, you got to go see your doctor. For 17 years.
Yeah.
17 years.
I'm going to ask somebody, like maybe not even a doctor. I'm just going to like, hey, is this normal?
His wife? Like, hey, is this? Look weird.
Wow, you're like half his all the time, honey. What's going on? All right. I don't think he was having a whole lot of sex. He was living in Switzerland, but he had moved from Zimbabwe, where the nature of his problem was discovered to be his body was infected with hordes of live microscopic parasitic worms. They had been in his body for 17 years. He had moved to Switzerland from Zimbabwe, where that infection is more common.
Oh, yeah, old worm penis over there. Didn't think to maybe get that checked out.
The worms like the D, huh?
I mean, it's just, I guess they're around that area. They cause in his middle area, and they cause in the lymph system and the circulatory network that normally would drain fluid, and it carries to other areas of the body, including his scrotum. And as they mature and mate, these worms produced millions upon millions of offspring.
Yeah.
He gets some very powerful anti-parasitic drugs for 2 months, and his penis went back down to normal, and his scrotum deflated as well.
Fantastic.
It's, I bet you, good. His shorts fit much better.
His underwear felt better. Yeah. Everything.
It's always good to be parasite clean.
That's it for us today. Thank you, Jonathan. Appreciate you coming in. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow at 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow the Don Miller Show. Hysterically funny. The man could say things that other people can't. He follows Bubba the Love Sponge, who's got one pocket full of pills and the other full of firearms. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. My name is Shannon Burke. Tell your friends we need the money.